About the PPP and how are they plan on using it moving forward?
I think
so. Just their feedback on the PPP specifically.
I guess the question I would have is,
you can take it.
Obviously, we've spent a huge amount of time inputting all this data. Are we ready to utilize this data?
So we heard not.
I've heard conflicting. I've heard the whole range on this. I've heard from enthusiastic, let's jump forward, and I've heard this is just way too much work, and I'm never going to get it done. So
I don't see why a department head who has gone through this process couldn't, for the 2021 budget, start using the information that was gathered. And do they have to use it exactly the same way as every other department? Do we have to direct them to use it? Not necessarily, but if I'm a department head and I've gone through this effort, I would hope there would be the things that stand out to them that they would then say, okay, well, I'm going to propose some changes in my 2021 budget as a result of having gone through this exercise. I mean, why wouldn't they be able to do that?
I think a lot of that kind of depends on the buy-in of the department head. So when the fair was here doing her programs, Jill was like, oh, my gosh, there is so much here that I haven't even thought about, so many different ways. I think that maybe things that we could be charging for and we're not charging for, and new programs and revenues and grouping things together I didn't think about before because maintenance ties them all in, that type of thing. And then there's,
I guess, you know, that's
the assessor's office
myself.
Who's saying, you know, I'm not doing this. I don't have time to do this. So it's like, well, okay, then you're not going to get anything from it. But I told him, just so you know, the commissioners are going to be expecting you to give a presentation on this, so you might want to make the time. So
this, you've got something up here.
Yeah.
We can actually work with.
This is communication.
Under the communication program?
Yep, communications.
Where did
the
advocacy fall?
So that's our communications program.
So does that's all of our advocacy meeting. Fall within this?
What are you talking about, advocacy? What do you mean?
Well,
the activities.
CCI, CCAT.
No,
AGNC.
So this is
no.
Well, we've got BCC dues and memberships in there.
Yep, but
that's not part of advocacy. That's part of communication. I mean, that's a good example.
Take a breath and let Kendra answer your question.
So advocacy would probably fall more under the policy
program.
Our policy program instead of communication. So this centers more on, let me pull it up. So managing the implementation of organizational communication efforts, including internal and external communication. So this is communication with staff, and this would be like Facebook ads and things like that. Pilot articles, getting messages out to the community. So not really communication in regards to advocacy and CCI.
I'm seeing our dues are buried inside of this program. I'm just questioning that.
So dues and memberships, right now 92% was allocated to this. I don't think
92% of the dues?
Yes.
So that does align with Tim's question.
Yep. So what we can do is we can go into
this is very confusing.
I can see that's an example of what I expect to see from every presentation. There's going to be questions. Really, that doesn't really belong there. It belongs in a different place. That, you know what? We can skip past that for now. Go back to where you were, so we can keep working our way through it.
So this is just where I was trying to show you where it will tell us. So this is the amount of time allocated, the costing putting into the communications part of the program.
And those are always percentages on the left.
Correct. Yep.
So on that top line item, the $12,890 represents 5.94% of Tom's time.
Correct.
Can you scroll down on the rest of the non-personnel cost items?
And so a lot of the, like you guys were talking about, the money that goes to Horizons and First Impressions and all that, that goes part of, that's part of our community budget, which is put into here with all of these, like the STARS, the autism, that's allocated out of here.
As communication?
Yeah, I think that's
I think the definition of this section needs to be. Is it more like community relations? Is that maybe more what kind of what we're talking about?
Tim already said they have an advocacy program too. So somebody, whether it was Dan, put the numbers to these things, whether we agree to them or agree with them or not.
Can we go back and look at the, or these are the list of the programs, huh?
Yeah, so like if we go into PBR,
I mean, I guess the question is whether the allocations need to be revised or just the title and or description, because I can sort of understand where all those maybe go in this community relations.
Rather than communication.
Yeah,
if you change the name of it, you're almost there.
At least in my opinion. You know, it's about how we interface with the public. And
although, I guess that might be an example of adding a program to separate out.
So this is a little bit of a simpler.
I actually feel like communications as a more narrowly defined program. And we own that. We own communications across
the county.
So every department, if we actually truly had a well-defined communications program, then presumably every department would be allocating costs to communications.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the question of the whole PBB then. So if everybody else is dumping their numbers into our program, how the hell do we know what the number is when we get there, and how do we know what to change?
I think you can drill down and find
out. I think so too, but I'm following
it goes into the same thing, because
we asked that.
Yeah, I think it goes the same thing as, you know, like accounting and having like payroll. Well, everybody spends a little bit of time in payroll, so then you have to navigate how much of that, you know, person's time goes into that payroll program.
And maybe we're picking out
and having
something that's a little bit too nuanced.
Yeah.
Payroll's a great example. Everybody knows.
Communications, I think, could be a good example if we do a good job defining that program, because this kind of information could help us evaluate how much time and effort is being spent across the entire organization for that function, and what does that really mean if we were considering something like a PIO type of a position or centralizing those efforts. Not advocating one way or the other at this moment, but it would help us to evaluate that type of decision.
It would be a shining example, because it's not just the money, the check that we're writing to Slate. It's all the rest of it.
And the time that people are spending.
And looking at that on a department-by-department basis through our regular budget process is not helpful. Plus, it's not even defined.
No, because it's personnel time. It's not dollars that they're spending, it's their time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so this is a much simpler example for the PDR. So we have 5% of my time allocated and 0.44% of the county manager time allocated to the PDR program. And then
we actually ought to be allocating some of our time. I mean, we probably meet with the PDR for 10 hours a year or something like that.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yep. That's too small of a time. Okay. I think there's a graph is one of the handouts that they give you that kind of tells you exactly, like, if you're only looking at like a couple of hours, how much as a percentage we try to allocate in 5%. Because if it's less than 5%, it's really not very much of your time. When you're looking at a whole year, if you're looking at, you know, 10 hours over a whole year. But like on here, you know, like 0.44% of the county manager's time, you know, out of the whole salary for the county manager, that ends up being, you know,
$900. What's the travel?
So there's expenses that goes to reimbursement. Yeah, when we have to reimburse the board members for mileage, or if we rent a county vehicle to take them out and around to see all of the different things.
And I agree with Doug. I can see where we can rename this program and then bury the
museums in there too.
Yeah. Okay. Call it conservation and historical preservation.
So, you know, the good thing about this thing is actually you would be able to see whether the 5% that were allocated out of the PDR resolution when it passed, we were allowed a 5% admin fee to make sure that this... see that? Yeah, right.
Resource recovery.
Nice work, Doug.
But anyhow, you would be able to see whether that resource recovery was paying for the
cost. We collect it?
No, we have. We've not been charging all of what we could have been.
Have we charged anything?
Yeah, we've been charging off part of Helena's time. And
so shouldn't there be some of Linnea's time in this program? Mm-hmm. Or are you only showing the time from our office?
I'm only showing the time from our office.
Okay. But there's a different place where presumably she has time in there,
so when we go into...
See, Doug,
I'll have to see if...
It's all good.
Nice cost recovery, I can see that. Like talking my language.
Well, you know what? If we're spending that time and it was allowed by the ballot language, we should take sure as I ought to be doing it.
Other than the fact that we, in the past, we got to do it. We got to have the people here doing it anyhow. And, you know, we're putting more money out there in the fields out there. Yeah. So we've been pretty stingy about how much money we've been.
Well, you know what? It's nice that we are because C-Cult and all those guys aren't being stingy about the money they're pulling out.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, yeah. There's only so many ways we can reimburse our costs, right?
On the one hand, I kind of agree with Doug. Well, we got people here anyway, but when you're starting to talk about Linnea's time and the fact that...
And maybe needing another half attorney or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it's unfortunate that this is not running the way you would like it to run.
Yeah, because it should be popping up and showing.
Fill us in again on where we're at. So we have 2018 numbers in there, budget numbers, 18.
Yep, and 19.
2019 budget numbers in there. And the next thing was to get 2020 budget numbers in there.
Yeah.
So as Beth was saying, we then should have 3 years' worth of budget numbers in there. Mm-hmm. So then we can start having some 2021 budget numbers in there, potentially then to compare them against the real on the ground budget.
So if those numbers are real, when we start to see, you know, we're going to have this conversation about the budget calendar, are we even going to be able to look at PBB at the same time as we're looking at our traditional budget numbers?
So the PBB doesn't reflect any actuals at all. It's only the budget numbers for 18, 19, and potentially 20, just the budget numbers.
But it may be a tool for us to use to be able to ask questions about individual department budgets.
If the information in there allows us to do that. And I think where we're at right now is, I mean, even just looking at our own budget, we have a lot of questions about how our programs are defined and what that looks like and how we might even start to look at them. So I think it depends where people are. But we know, like, Ray, for example, has been thinking about, without even doing this, he's been thinking about things that he might want to change in his programs, and I don't see why people couldn't start to reflect those types of things in their budget requests, and they could use PBB kind of as a justification or an explanation of those changes that they're suggesting.
Yep. Because the PBB helps you look at it.
Some departments will be in a much better place than others.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't think everybody has to be in the same place all at the same time.
No, I don't think so.
In order for it to be valuable.
Yeah. So this is part of where you can allocate to different programs. This is my time. So like BCC minute taking, that's actually part of the clerk's office. So that my time for any minute taking, which was a 2% allocation because I don't do it very often. I just do it for the boards, for PDR and such. Oh. So that was allocated into the clerk. And then also human resources, any employee communication to employees, that's part of a human resources program. So my time in that program was allocated to human resources. So that's where some of these kind of go somewhere else.
How do we know that's you?
Accounting, up here, admin is X.
Do we, so the other direction though, do we have a, can we look at a program and see all the allocations that are going into that specific program across the entire organization?
Yes.
That's the most compelling to me, personally.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And that is mostly through...
My impression is that the answer to that question has been yes.
It is yes.
Okay.
I have to...
Did you guys have passwords on your phones too, by the way?
I do already have a password on my phone.
I did. So it's like...
So you couldn't get in your email?
Yeah, I had to set up a password.
That means anybody can just leave your phone somewhere. I steal it. Right?
Yes,
you're paying the bill. I had to wait for it.
You know, it locked up my phone, and then it wasn't until the next
day. Oh, is this your new phone?
No, huh?
Oh, you're talking about for our email?
Yeah, for the
phone. There was a security update, and if you don't have a password on your phone, you can't get it anymore.
And it was irritating because they did the update on a Friday, and I was home over the weekend, and I couldn't access my email at all.
And you didn't have a password?
I had a password.
Oh, you did.
But it was no longer good. Only way I could update it was to come back in here and do it in here.
I thought it was odd that they implemented a policy before warning us that it was coming.
Yeah. I don't know the details of what happened.
2.4 million.
I'm trying
not
to find.
$2.4
million. No. So personnel, that's my cost for my time that I put into the land.
This may not be a good example because there probably aren't any other. Oh, can we see Linnea's time in here? Or maybe Linnea didn't allocate any time into there because the only personnel that showed up was you.
Yeah, it should be all available. So if we go into airport facilities.
Okay, you're seeing all, but those are all people at the airport. We're looking for an example of a program that would have multiple departments contributing manpower. Mm-hmm. How about you have payroll processing? Because you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm. But AP is the same. Yeah, so those are various people.
So here you've got an HR generalist contributing to accounts payable in the accounting, which is an accounting department program.
So what is, which I agree that we can intuit that there are different departments contributing to that, but it's not really transparent. Like the AA5, we don't know.
Right.
So is there a way to
But here we've
that
got like the assistant county manager contributing to AP.
Is there a way to display this information that also shows what department each of those people are in?
I could probably get a spreadsheet ordered that would do that. I'll have to ask how I would order them.
Because I think that's going to be more powerful tools is to look at across the entire organization how much is a program costing us in terms of time, money, right?
Well, it's showing you across the whole operation.
But we need to be able to break it down, or it's not that helpful.
Yeah, it doesn't help you to have the big number if you can't figure out how what goes in it.
Exactly. And then I think for individual department heads, the biggest thing is going to be for them to look at their own programs. But for us, I think those big picture across the whole county are going to be really helpful.
Yeah, and I think that has to do with part of about how we've loaded our personnel costs into PBB from our HR list, where, it just says AA5 or here's the treasurer's accountant.
Yeah, there
like
might,
how
that
it's
might
labeled.
Be placed for another way where it says AA5 and then in parentheses
the
HR. Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning.
do you have what you need to get started on what you need to work on, Kendra?
I think so, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, if we're looking at the basic presentations on their program list, kind of what surprised them or what they've learned out of the programming, do they want to expand out any more of their programs, and then their feedback, their likes, their dislikes, how to use it further. I think that's a good start for our first, you know, round of presentations.
Yeah, and then just see how that goes, and we can refine more.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yes.
Sorry about the.
Yeah, I apologize. I wish it had been working better.
Yes. I'm the chair for what? Can we blame it on Tom?
Yes.
It's like watching a football game when your team's losing, but.
Are you guys getting this spammy kind of lobbying email?
I did get that one.
I guess I was going to give it much credence, but I was thinking of just asking Kelly to tell us a little bit about what this bill is.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I actually looked at that. It is kind of spammy, but on the other hand, is maybe...
What's it about, 1302? What's that?
It's about adult protective services.
Invading people's houses.
Yeah, and just be curious to hear from Kelly kind of a rundown of that bill. Are you guys all right if I ask her?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. For sure.
Do you want these guys to come up?
You guys want to come on up, or...
You didn't
We've already
them.
Eight
oh,
minutes,
come on up.
8 minutes
for you.
Into their time.
Good afternoon.
We're having too much fun.
IT trouble.
They're here to support.
Great.
See that, thank you. So I guess, is it all right with you if we start with the P card discussion?
Sure, let's
start. These two joined me.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Give us the good news.
Well, I think I sent everything to you, so I don't know if you've had a chance to review the documents, but the P card policy and user or cardholder agreement is still in with Eric. He's swamped right now, so... I don't have a final version in case he has markups, but we don't really need to get that signed until we hand out the cards, which will be middle of March, right around the 17th. And he's all signed off on the contracts and everything with JP Morgan, so we're good there. I think what I wanted to discuss with you is to make sure that you're all right with the limits that we've set. For the three categories, we've got a department head category that is at 5,000. Manager level is at 2,500.
What's a manager?
A manager is like like Tennille Gerber, assistant director, or you know, Steve Faulkner is now manager of facilities. So, you know, you look at it as people that have other people under them.
Yeah. Got it.
But they have a little more spend authority if they need to buy something more than what is at the admin level of $1,000.
Has all the department heads signed off on all of these people having the cards?
Yes. They all
seem like a lot of cards.
I've discussed everything with everyone. Well, the thinking is no more using other people's cards. It's really not best practices.
So, which is fine, I guess. Personal responsibility.
So there's more individual accountability. I guess my question is,
is this
the final list.
It's the same one you have in front of you.
Well, it's a little more updated.
Mine's only good.
One person. So we've added like Albert and the three guys that are going to. We're going to eliminate the Ace Hardware open account. They'll each have an account at the admin level for $1,000 for picking up miscellaneous parts. That should really free up Jim Standish.
You know, it's interesting to me that it appears that the assessor's office, everybody...
He asked for everybody.
Towards what purpose?
I told her I didn't want a card myself.
I saw that, which is fine.
Which is against the thinking of everyone having their own card.
Yeah, so how are you going to pay for... Who's going to pay for your hotel rooms when you travel?
Well, either Kendra's going to do it or I'm not going to charge hotel rooms anyhow, so I'll have them pre-registered by Kendra.
And Kendra can always make a reservation for you, and then your card would be what you present at the time you check in.
See, that's been the problem. A lot of the reasons that we go and we don't get the tax exemption is they say, well, you can't, you know, we need to physically see the card that the reservation
your
was
name.
Made with.
And the tax ID number is the second line item right under your name.
So send me that sheet you had again, and I'll keep the card. I could be responsible.
Thank you very much.
I just
way to be a team player, guys.
I know.
I'm just too embarrassed you into having.
No, it's just kind of like.
I think I understand the answer to the question I have, but not everybody on this list falls into one of these three categories.
No,
so
and that's why I'm trying to get away from titles.
Okay,
you know, and not make it a title based thing.
I guess that would be my question from a policy standpoint is if someone's not in one of these three categories, where are you putting them in terms of defining their limit?
I'm not exactly sure who wouldn't be in one of those three categories.
Where's the three categories?
I mean, they're not all department heads, managers, or admin, right?
It's the one that's listed.
Do you see what I mean? Their limits are set at that. Those are categories for limits. Their titles will still be in.
No, I understand, but if the policy is not, if people have a P card who are not one of those three categories, what is the policy saying about how their limit is defined?
Get past that contract.
It's being defined by the title of the category rather than, so, you know, everyone in the assessor's office apparently travels once in a while. So that's
which
why
is fine.
We set it up at the minimum, at the admin level, even though there may be managers in that department. If they need to have 2,500, we can always alter that later. But Gary didn't really define that. He just wanted to be sure that everyone had a card for their own travel.
My point, I guess, is for the purpose of a policy, I think you want it to be clear and consistent how these are determined. So I guess, is there a better way to define that within the policy?
I think that that's more of a procedure than a policy.
Okay.
The policy really just needs to speak to the fact that this is a county-owned card, you need to be responsible, you need to reconcile it on a timely basis to be sure that it's paid on time, and that's more of the policy around it. And then the parameters around how we're starting out this, you know, it's the onset of it and trying to come up with categories that and limits that make sense.
So
when
maybe,
we start to do some spend analysis and when we start to look at it down the road 6 months into this and seeing what other bills can be paid on it, we'll be making adjustments. It's going to be something that's kind of a work in progress.
So I guess maybe to what I think might address my point is for the policy to state who is determining each employee's limit. I mean, is it the county manager? Is it their department head? Is it you? Is it accounting? And the policy doesn't say how people are put at each of those limits. So who's making that decision?
Well, I asked all the department heads what they felt.
So the department heads are making that decision. So
well,
maybe
making,
that's what
they're making a recommendation, and you've been
they're making a recommendation, and what?
Wait, so that's different. That's my point about what the policy should say is who decides an individual employee's limit. So is it the department?
So to the purview of the department head.
I think I wrote that in the policy as the fact that the delegation of authority has been granted by the BCC to the department heads, and the department heads are granting that authority to their employees.
But I'm talking about the spending limit for each individual person.
Right.
So you think the policy does say that?
That delegation.
So maybe I just didn't see.
It's a delegation of authority. So.
Yeah.
And saying that it's showing that you have pre-approval for budgeted item.
Yeah.
It has to be in the fiscal year budget that you are able to spend.
So maybe the support of what Beth is saying is maybe that should be explicitly stated in this policy that you're relying upon the existing delegation of authority?
I'm relying on the existing delegation of authority to the department heads and the department heads to grant that to their employees.
But when you're reading this Route County Purchasing Card policy, I agree with you that that's probably sufficient. I'm just suggesting maybe you come right out and say it.
The thing I'm afraid about getting too down in that is, you know, because we do want it to be adjustable. We do want to meet people's needs. So if they're going to a conference and they've got $1,000 as an admin and they need to book 3 hotel nights and the conference is $1,200, we need to be able to temporarily raise that with their department head's approval.
Which so would be within the existing delegation of authority.
Which would be within that, and also in the procedures, not the policy. We don't
what are the apology. Where are the procedures?
That's coming. That's a big part of getting all of the procedures put together.
So I have a couple questions too. So then, so guy goes and does his travel expenses, and then has drinks on the side too. Runs that through his card. How does that?
They're not allowed.
I know that. So I'm good with that.
No, but
how's the backside accounting then? So
the card won't accept the charge.
The card. These are all what are called the MCC codes.
This is what's super cool.
For all.
So I did. This is what we did. I didn't know. So you will not have the opportunity to charge your.
Your card won't go through at a place that sells liquor.
So even if you're having meals.
So it depends on how that restaurant registers.
For their MCC.
If it registers as a hotel, it probably won't go through.
But the policy states that you're not supposed to pay for meals on the P card at all anyway.
Correct.
Right.
Oh, okay.
We're doing the per diem for meals and mileage. Yeah.
For travel related, if it's a business lunch in county,
it can.
Yeah, I think if you're traveling overnight, they should charge meals on the card. But if you're doing a business lunch, like Riviera does all the time when people come in,
so I went to the motel. I spent the night at the motel. Didn't want to go out. And I had dinner delivered to my motel room.
That
would go on that card.
Which is fine. But then when you fill out,
you would have the receipt.
Yeah, you have the receipt.
And then you got to clear up the thing at the end of the month.
Yeah, part of the travel piece is clearing that up. There will be those one-offs where you guys say, in our reimbursement for the travel, instead of taking per diem this night, it was charged to the room. You just don't collect per diem for that meal. But we're trying to do the global, try not to do it approach, and there will be those one-offs where that's that minimize the labor on the back end and double-check everything.
So I don't know if I missed that, but one of the things like, if you have a card and you go down to Ace at the curb and try to charge a gallon of paint, it won't go through. You can't buy a gallon of paint.
I can't?
Your P-card.
Albert will?
Yes, Albert can, but he won't be able to.
Yes, he will.
I thought that we were going to use these codes so that, like, my card would be limited to just basically all I can use it for would be for hotels and restaurants.
Well,
and then I'd be limited. I wouldn't be allowed to charge any other kind of charge on my card.
We can do that as well, but I really don't see the need for
okay.
it.
Okay. That's theoretically possible.
If you're going to get a can of paint at a conference and something comes up and you need to be a participant of it, you don't want to be declined in that situation. And it's probably perfectly justifiable and something you can code to a budgeted expense.
But it is theoretically possible to limit each and every one of these cards to a very narrow range.
You can get so narrow that it's embarrassing.
Okay.
We don't want to embarrass anybody in the situation.
Okay.
And that is one thing in my experience, and I think Sean can speak to that as well, is that we narrowed it down too much.
Okay.
And the administration of it just gets a little out of hand. You know, if we find that... Albert doesn't need any travel on it. We can break these into different groups.
Was the sheriff okay with the per diem concept? Because I didn't see, you know, like when they do extraditions and stuff like that, or what?
The notice went out to everyone. I don't know, Tom, have you gotten any feedback?
Mm-hmm. No. So we just don't. That might be an opportunity. You know, when he does extraditions and stuff like that. So,
what are you guys talking about?
So, yeah, and I guess we were struggling with the per diem, too. We understand the per diem, you know, it ends up being less bookkeeping than the rest for the overall thing. But, I mean, doesn't it
say? We're looking into how that can be handled in ESS with Munis.
Okay.
Because they do have the opportunity to use it there. To have it go through there and reduce that paper that's going around. So, but that's down the road with probably part of the HR things that are going
on. So what's the isn't a per diem actually higher than what actual meals?
Sometimes not.
Well, no, I understand that if you're going to Washington, D.C., but...
I think often if you eat in your hotel... In the hotel restaurant, you'll exceed the per diem pretty quickly, mm-hmm. a lot of times, in my experience.
So then we wouldn't, that's why these cards are not going to be used for...
Not at this time. It doesn't really fit the program.
And it's also somewhat to reduce the risk that the employee has daily charges alcohol. The perception is they charge alcohol at hits and then they reimburse. 9 times out of 10, the newspapers aren't going to care that it was reimbursed. They're just going to run the articles and employee charges alcohol on the county P card, and that's it. So just reduce the service.
Everybody's got the same limitations.
For now.
This is it for everybody.
And we want to see how it fits, you know.
And we can make adjustments.
I mean, the best way to look at this is we want it to be a work in progress and be able to adapt. You know, we don't really know some of the things we don't
know. I need
the
vet services. Come on.
You need
blank check.
Apparently, they've rolled out massage parlors.
No,
oh, my God.
Yeah, massage parlors, and there's several things that are rolled out.
Okay.
No marinas. I know, I feel like you think we beat this to death, but I don't. So I don't feel like the policy as it's currently written is clear in the fact that the predetermined monthly limit is decided by the department head. And I really think that should be clear in the policy. And I understand what you're saying. We don't want to limit that they couldn't have flexibility, but I think it should be clear who's deciding what each individual's limit is. And I'm hearing you say it's the department head. And so I think that should be clear within the policy.
That's great. That's why I sent it to all of you your opinion, and absolutely.
Yeah, that is my opinion.
If that is missed there in your perception,
You got to get one more of these guys. But I think it should be clear.
What, so that clear on what part?
Just that how each individual employee's predetermined monthly limit is their department head's authority to determine what that is.
No, otherwise, are we or the county manager going to be signing off on
that? Just so there's not
that?
A question.
I think there needs to be
that.
A clear sign of,
don't you think it should go on further to say within the department head's existing?
Well, that's already there.
That's already there.
I just don't think it wasn't clear to me. Like, is accounting deciding on the authority? Are you deciding? Is the manager deciding? So that I just think it should be clearer.
Yeah, I think the department head needs to have some responsibility there. And grant
my whole thing is coming up with parameters to work around and making suggestions. For everybody else to either vote yay or nay, including...
How come political organizations are in here?
Well, you probably have affiliations with things that you might need to pay.
Not political.
I guess it depends on whether or not CCI or CCAT would be...
No, they're not political.
Political.
No,
we also
not.
Aren't going to pay them on our...
So we have member organizations... But political organizations.
Well, it depends how they file themselves. I think that's probably a good idea just because of the fair campaign practices issue. I mean, to Sean's point about what it looks like if you're paying money to a certain organization.
So help me through here, and I'm good with this, and I'm good with the cards, and I appreciate Beth's thing, because there still needs to be some type of a track and a for chain responsibility. So, and each of these department heads need to recognize that they are responsible for their employees' cards.
Exactly. They have to be responsible, and they will be approving the purchases within their department. And then department heads
when it comes back through to be reconciled.
Mm-hmm. And so, also there's a second review by Noel.
Right. So, yeah, can you guys fill me in on how all that's going to happen?
Well, like with Chase, I mean, it's just another piece of the workflow. It goes through accounts payable to make sure there's adequate supporting documentation. Or if there's a charge.
So it's already been paid, though, in the meantime.
That you can't avoid. Yeah, you can't avoid some of that.
It's been charged.
Yeah.
We haven't reimbursed JP Morgan yet.
So it does function so why did, credit card in that way.
Yeah. Why did we sign up? Why did Lane sign this here? Then I thought was this part of the thing too that would be an automatic withdrawal out of our Wells Fargo account.
I think that happens once a month when we do the rec and we pay the bill monthly. So just
okay. That's what I want to hear. I mean, I don't know, and I don't want to. I just want to know that you. And this was my concern earlier. I don't want this thing to, everything looks good and free falling down to the last minute when we're signing off on doing AP and then runs down to accounting and then you guys end up.
Well, the risk is, okay, with this card is that you've got, okay, like if they don't process it timely, then that becomes.
Who's they? Both, who do you mean they?
Oh, the department.
The card. Okay.
And or the employee that has the card.
Card will be.
Yeah, whoever we're talking, that department, because like the person's going to code the cost, and then the department's most likely going to approve, department head's going to approve that cost.
Right.
And if that's not done timely, then that becomes, the benefit of having this card is pretty much lost. So, and that's, I think, why we have the penalty in there, in the policy there. Because if it's not done, then we're having to make journal entries because it's going to get dumped into one account.
So
instead of
does it get paid anyhow, and we get a penalty? So it gets paid anyhow.
Yeah, it gets paid.
The only pitfall is whatever is charged on the card in that month will get paid, whether it's been coded or not. Because I went around and around with J.P. Morgan that route.
No, I would think that's what they would want to have happen.
So that's why the penalty is in there, is that if they don't code and approve it in a timely manner, there will be some
consequence. So penalty to who? Penalty to our department head that comes back to us?
They use the card, the privilege of using the card. If they
we
don't
deactivated
time.
It.
Because what accounting.
So that's the penalty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is no financial penalty.
No, there's no financial penalty.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
It's all internal penalty. The shame, the ache on the face,
are we going to put their picture,
the shame
bad
hall,
checks?
The shame of fame.
About Ralph. Yeah. Hall of Fame. Ralph. Hall of Shame.
Yeah. If you open up the browser, we'll see that.
Dan, I had a clarifying question for you as well. So Noelle's role is primarily to just ensure that the appropriate documentation has been provided for those purchases?
And a review of classification to a certain extent.
Okay.
A classification to the proper.
Yep. Thank you.
So I'd like to walk through a real-life example so that I can understand the beginning-to-end process. So I go down to Denver for CCI meeting, and I go and I get a hotel room, and I put it on the P card. What is my responsibility at that point? Am I supposed to be taking a photograph of the receipt at the time that I check into the hotel?
At the time you check out.
At the time that I check out.
Yeah, it's your responsibility to have a valid receipt.
Is there going
to
be an app that I have on my phone that I do that with? So, okay, I check out, I take a picture of it. Do I have any responsibility as the individual employee to put a code into it, or is it automatic that it pulls the code from this list of codes?
It won't be an automatic. You'll have your codes that are coded to your top level, what is it, the org?
It'll have nothing to do with these numbers.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
That's all on the business side.
That's the business side. Okay. So my responsibility is, I'm, and generally most employees are going to have a very limited number of codes that they're
correct
ever going to use. And I'll have that list of codes. And so I'll have the app, I'll take the picture, and I'll actually type in a code number.
There'll be a drop-down box. It'll have your list of
and
codes.
And I can select which
you can
code
select
number.
Which one you need.
And then how does that, will that, maybe not right away, but at some point, automatically interface with the Munis chart of accounts?
Mm-hmm. That is the chart of accounts.
Basically, that'll be the chart of accounts numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is the chart of accounts.
And then it'll go to my supervisor, whoever that may be. I don't need to get into that detail. And my immediate supervisor will then just check approved or disapproved.
Exactly. And then it'll be routed to Noel.
And then Noelle will do the same thing.
She will do her review of all the...
she'll make sure you have a receipt.
And make sure you coded it, you know.
So we're not going to be able to go on a trip and spend the next Monday going through our receipts?
Actually, you can do it on your way home.
Yeah, because when I had it for Apple, by the time I flew from St. Louis and landed in Denver, I had all my receipts on my phone. I had them coded, and when I got service... uploaded to JP Morgan's database.
So then the next question, so another logistics question, it's all fine for the ones that are on county reimbursed phones. Is this a county app on a non-reimbursed phone?
It's just a regular app. It's a JP Morgan app.
You could live on
you might phone. Get those questions and then we have them at our app.
Well, I'm just asking. So no, you're making me... So are you now making... I want to have you pay me my $40 phone bill.
That was a question.
But either that or, do you want to get reimbursed for your travel cost, right? So
you're not getting reimbursed for your telephone?
Yeah, I am. But all of these people that are here are not getting reimbursed for their phone.
That's fine.
But
they still
it's going to be a lot easier.
On their personal phone and to use county business, to do county business. That's why I'm just bringing the point up.
They just go ahead and pay for their own hotel rooms if they don't like using their phone. Screw it.
What?
You can change the policy.
No, I don't want to pay for any more phones either.
I don't pay for my phone, and I have my, I do county business. I get my emails all the time.
It's all good.
I think if that's really a sticking point for them, fine. Do it when you're at work.
That's right. They could do it on the computer.
Exactly.
But I'm going to bring up policy questions that will get asked.
Well, that's my answer.
Okay.
If that's a problem, do it when you're at work.
Yeah.
And so, you only have to do it once a month.
So, I really appreciate the fact that you don't want people to get embarrassed and you don't want to make it too complicated, but really, I
you have more to nail down?
I mean, I seriously think that for what I do, I should only be approved for about three things.
Well, don't spend money on other stuff that you're not supposed to be spending money on.
But it would be a way to, embarrassment runs two ways. Somebody may accidentally
limits
use their
the
key
exposure
card.
Of somebody.
So, I walk into Ace of the Curve and they say, yeah, you want to pay for this? And I just happen to pull out the P card instead of my personal credit card. I'd like to get rejected right then and there.
I've done that.
I don't have to come back and explain to you guys what the hell I was doing.
I had a key card and I grabbed it once at the gas station.
Yeah.
And I just paid. That's where you saw where you can take it personal and you can take it off when you're reconciling it.
Oh.
Remember
so you should catch that when you're doing it.
You will definitely catch that when you're doing it.
So, to answer your question.
And that just comes right out.
You can do that. The issue that I was told at JP Morgan implementation is you're only allowed a finite number of groups. So what you're seeing right now is one group. It's just everybody's got the exact same codes. At Rappahoe, we had six set up, and one was specifically for extradition officers. We've basically got everything filed except for cash. Pulling cash out of another ship because we don't know where they're going to go, they don't know what they're going to spend on. But we had six different groups and had various levels of restrictions. So in the future, we could set one up, but JP did say you're limited to the number of groups that you have.
And you know what? Maybe we'll see the problems as they develop and maybe make some adjustments. I'm fine with
that. That's what we did at Rappahoe, because the sheriff's office had three sets of groups, extradition, patrol, and command. And we adjusted all those because I was frankly tired of hearing them.
We're not going to have all the answers today.
I'm good. I appreciate you coming in. Just let us know how this is all kind of Greek. So
I forgot because I sat through the presentation, so I have a pretty good idea how it all worked.
And I want to work with everybody. I want to work with all the department heads and making what really makes sense. And when Gary gets a report at the end of 6 months and it's, two out of the 10 people he's requested a card for have used one, why are we tying up county credit? We can ask that question. But right now, we don't have any data around any of this. So, that's what I'm looking for is how we're going to consolidate the spend out of this if we see that multiple departments are all ordering the same thing or buying from the same stores, which is what JP Morgan will help us do.
So we're on track for the implementation as of?
If we sign the contract tomorrow, I'm ordering the cards tomorrow.
And so 15 days later, we'll receive all the cards.
And will you talk about training the employees?
I was going to train everyone on the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and I wanted to set up several different times with those training laptops set up in Trout Creek. And then I thought about it, and I was, and this is just an idea to throw out there, but I really think that it would help if we wait till the end of the month to have actual live transactions. I think that you learn more with real data than looking at what J.P. Morgan is putting out there on their website and their seminars and their, you know, you have real things. You see your drop-down codes. You see all the things that we'll be building between ordering the cards and receiving the cards. So I'm thinking about pushing it one more week. I just think it makes...
I don't care, personally, as long as people are ready to do it and they have the information they need.
Well,
they
which
need
is
the
why I should, the policy, I think, is, you know, you need a mandatory. You can't have people coming back and say, oh, I didn't do this month because I never got to make it to. You know, if you want your card, you need you to come for an hour.
You give them their card at the training session.
Exactly, and sign the policy and the card holder. You know, just make it one.
Maybe that's where you can drop down which level, which the number is that's signed by the department head is that card holder agreement.
On the agreement.
Yeah, I was wondering how you were going to tie that together, too.
That's how we
that's a good point. Yep.
The department head signed in, so they're going to be at this.
Yeah, I think that's good.
So you're suggesting modifying the agreement mm-hmm. where there's a sign-off for the department head that includes their limit.
You know, I'm running everything by everybody. Yeah. I don't want to.
That makes sense.
I don't want to. We're not operating in a
vacuum. Well, and then all that information is in one place, too. I mean, it's on one agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That they
there's some. We can get so much more detailed into this, and I was reading through so many different ones from, like, the state of Nebraska and North Dakota, different ones around. J.P. Morgan has a 7 or 8 page agreement. I mean, you know, we can get way down into the weeds, but the bottom line is that you're responsible for the card. You're responsible to report it if it's stolen or if there's unusual activity on it. You're responsible to not use it for your personal funds and be cognizant of that. You know, I mean, it's getting some kind of accountability and getting accountability of the department heads if they're looking at the attachments and making sure before it goes to Noel that the receipts are attached and that's done, you know.
But this isn't really imposing any extra work. This is just a different way for these guys to do business.
This is actually,
it should be easier for the department heads.
It should be way easier.
Yeah.
It should be very easy.
And we'll have more transparency in the way that we're accounting for these expenses because it won't just be credit card transaction, right?
Plus, if we spend enough, we get a rebate.
On this?
Yeah.
That's good, too.
We're part of a coalition so that, you know, the coalition's overall spend will set our rebate rate.
And then if all goes according to plan, April 1st, where everybody's got their credit card, that's how we're doing business starting April 1st.
I think it's more like March 31st.
Huh?
March 31st.
I think it's more like 30th or 31st.
Oh.
So that way his card is totally...
So we've dealt with him before.
Right. That's the key point.
Well, and we have confirmed that when that goes, they all go.
So we do have a small problem, is that Tom's actual last day is going to be prior to the 31st. He will not actually be physically
taking
present.
Vacation days.
Okay.
At the end of October.
Okay, but theoretically, your credit card will still exist until the last day.
I'll just turn it in and...
Yeah. Well, so wait a minute. So, I mean, your last day is
you want to hang on to it yourself?
Well, I'm just curious.
What you look at.
We're already cutting off spending on the credit cards prior to that day, right?
Right. Okay.
So it really shouldn't matter.
So,
as long as the card's live at the time that gets cut off.
Yes. I would like to see the P cards live.
So Tom's last day of work is tentatively Monday the 23rd.
Actually, it's going to be the 24th. I've reconciled my vacation time with Lori, so I'll be 24th. We're leaving at around
3:07 p.m.
3:20.
He's got a time, man.
You got that look on your face already.
I think I'm 1.4 hours on
There you go.
But Tim, because it doesn't really matter, because the card still exists through Tom's legal last day of employment. Right. And that's the only part that really matters.
No, it's just who's got a hold of it. I guess Kendra will.
Well, he'll turn it in before he leaves anyway.
And we have it scheduled for the 24th.
And nobody's supposed to spend any money on their credit cards.
We did a soft close shutdown. We'd asked everybody to not spend anything after the 6th.
Oh.
And right,
that's the part I was referring to.
So get it in the check.
There was a blackout window of about a week and a half.
Then nobody can charge anything.
No, and if you do have travel expenses, we're using the travel expense reimbursement form.
Okay.
It's only a short window, but there is a window.
So what is it? Just help me understand the window again from the killing of that card and the beginning of P-cards?
P-cards begin and then kill.
Okay.
We've already stopped transactions on it, though. I mean, if someone had to in an emergency, it's still live.
Well, just as an example, Beth is going to be down in Denver the night, the 11th and 12th.
Right, and Kendra booked my hotel room on her credit card.
So those will still
but it probably won't get charged
it's not
until
her credit card.
Well, Tom's credit card.
I didn't know. I don't know who has
it's
a credit
Tom's
card.
Card.
I know I don't have a credit
so
card.
What I'm hearing is that.
But hold on. So the theoretically, those hotel rooms don't get charged until I check out, right?
You're right.
So then is that going to be a problem?
No, that's why we did the talking with Noelle. Once those charges had already been pre-approved and posted and that type of thing.
Like, but it's not going to get denied, I guess.
It's not
going to
get denied.
It'll be okay.
Worst case scenario, you'll have to whip out your own credit
card.
Yeah,
which is
fine. So, like, I know billing department's traveling 27th through, like, the 2nd. And his biggest concern was, I'm not going to have a card to use. What am I going to do? Because I booked the room on Elon and a new P card. Well, then that's when you show up to the desk and say, I've got a new card that I can charge you to. I'm going to put this on the file.
And they don't have any problem with that.
Okay. But people will have... Okay.
So there will be some spending the last half of the month. It's just the stuff that we have in the cards. That's why we haven't canceled it 100%. But I told a lot of the bigger departments, like, why have you already started making a list of what your reoccurring expenses are that
need to be moved over?
So I realize there's some trust involved here, too. How do we know that people aren't going to go to the Ritz-Carlton versus the
how do we know that already in our current system?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't think there's a change, really. Right?
I don't know. I booked the cheapest motels myself, but
yeah.
I think we try to be reasonable.
We have per diem. I mean, we have daily rates for hotels, right?
There's
do we use the state rate? We don't.
I don't think
there was either,
No. Why don't we?
Kendra can book you a room for $500 a night right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right.
We don't now.
So I guess we'll have some accountability when the bill goes through Noelle and say, by the way, why did you?
The department manager needs to manage to their budget.
Yep.
Exactly. I think it needs to fall back to. You know, and we do put in, you know, you try to come up with an average of what your hotel expenses are going to be for the year when you ask for that travel budget.
Yeah.
So within the confines, and the department head wants people to stay at a 500, I don't know too many department heads around here that would.
Why are we using the state, the federal reimbursement rate for hotel room expenses? At least as a guideline for people.
Because we don't reimburse people for hotel rooms.
Well, but you could say it's the policy of Route County that this is the top amount you would spend on a per night basis for a hotel room.
I don't think we've ever had an issue.
Okay.
And I mean, it is.
So maybe there's not.
Yeah, I mean, we've had issues with what people buy for food, you know, where we've had 100% alcohol. That's been an issue. But we haven't really seen that as an issue for a hotel.
Alcohol's nourishing.
Well, no, that isn't a good thing.
No, we should. But, you know, and also, Beth, you know, as a woman, you know, traveling by yourself, sometimes you pick a neighborhood. You pick, I don't know. I mean, I look for hotels that are within walking distance of my hotel because the policy for taking a county car is also that you don't drive it, you know, at night and different things. So I want to walk to a restaurant. I want to walk. I get out the Google Map and try to find the closest. You know,
I've always traveled in organizations that have the policy of using the per diem rate. I mean, it's an average for the area. It's not telling you have to stay in the Super 8 on Colfax, right? I mean, it's an average for the area, and it's usually pretty equivalent to the average
for the
area.
You have to go to the travel
policy. I mean, whatever. If it's not an issue, if Dan's saying
we haven't had a problem,
then that's fine.
And a lot of times, you know, like, the conferences will recommend a place to stay.
And they get a discount.
Yeah. They have rates too.
And they have rates for groups.
Yeah, but often, if it's especially a lot of government folks, it's below that per diem rate because that's a standard rate.
Yeah, but I remember when Steve and I first got elected and we went down to CCI and they put us up in the Warwick and it was like $300 and some a night.
For the two of you. Yeah, it was $150 a night.
Per person.
Yeah, per person.
Well, there's been...
Yeah, that's put about what the Warwick is.
I've seen the Warwick advertised at $400 a night.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't sound like there's a need to adopt that kind of policy.
A friend of mine's father was in the hospital in Denver. Couldn't find a hotel under $600 last spring.
It was because the Lakers were in town. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, it was when the Lakers were playing the Nuggets, all the hotel rooms were
full. The hotel was downtown, and
it wasn't even a question of price. They weren't even available.
No, nothing was.
That happens sometimes.
So, I mean, you know.
And there was a dental convention.
I think we're on a bird walk here.
Yeah, so are you going to get me what do I need to do to send you back with whatever I need to
I'll
do?
I'll just stop by your office and grab your info.
Okay, sounds good.
Adding cards, if we get a new employee, how long will it take to add it?
That's 2 to 3 days, I think, once everything's set. Okay. By the way, they are going to put our logo on this card, so you know it will clearly be a Route County card. But that takes an additional 10 days to happen, so they're issuing all the cards. They don't charge for any of that. And then as soon as they have the artwork done, they'll be reissued with the same number, so it won't be... You're not setting up a card and redoing it again.
Just a new card.
It'll just be a replacement with the logo on it. But I felt, because time is of the essence here, go ahead and get them without the logo.
All right. Sounds good.
So are we... we're all in agreement for tomorrow, and we know
what
we need
to do... What are we approving
tomorrow?
The contract?
With
and the policy is being approved.
I think we should table that until Eric has had more chance,
so
and
Eric's
I can add the changes that you guys have suggested today.
Sounds good.
You can always come back for that.
Sounds good.
And then I assume you're going to get information out to folks for training for them to put that on their calendars.
Yeah. But I just wanted to know what you think of waiting 1 week until we have, or, you know, we don't really need to start... reconciling the statements until probably mid-April even. So it's a 45-day cycle. So, you know, I just feel like real data is always more interesting and more useful to people when they're learning a new system.
Fine by me.
And I think we have catches in place to make sure that they are coding it to the right place.
Yeah, just like we do now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's done.
Thank you.
Do you want to talk about purchasing?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming, Dan.
Purchasing?
My purchasing
update.
So for reference, the nightly lodging rate for Denver County is $195. So it's not crazy low. I mean, it's...
What's Longmont? I have to stay in Longmont. I couldn't believe how much they were charging.
It's by county. I don't know what county Longmont is. Boulder? Is it Boulder County?
I don't know. It's very close to Boulder. But
is there another county up there besides Boulder? I don't even know.
No.
I think it's
Longmont's
county,
in Larimer.
Right? Larimer County? Oh, yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yes, yeah.
I was guessing.
The line's there.
No, Loveland.
Well, yeah,
Loveland's in Larimer. So
yeah,
Longmont's
in Boulder
County. It's in Boulder
County. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I'm looking.
I got the
right
L. The L's mixed up.
Thank you. I have to go take my test this October.
Test
my
for
certification.
To
my
be CPP. Certified. You're not certified?
I had to work in public accounting for 3 years before I could be certified. And actually, I'm getting to pull it ahead by 6 months.
You mean you're going to be what? A certified what?
Certified public purchasing buyer or something. Okay. I don't know. It's some big, long title.
It's a little lower. It's 128. But in the summer, it's 157.
I paid over 200 there. But that was in a really reasonable hotel, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
But it was also... But I did get the government right, so that was good.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've been busy getting money spent.
We always like that, especially when we budgeted it.
Yes, so indeed.
Might as well get to use it during the year.
So all of the heavy equipment, all the bids are in. They came in on 2/14. The water truck came in at the end of January. I'm still waiting on decisions from Road and Bridge on which... bid. We had a great response. We had some people that bid 5 out of the 11, you know, since it's all like equipment. And everything came in under budget. So that makes me feel really good that we got it out. I mean, it was a little extra work to have 9 bids come in on one day, but it was worth it because I do see a reflection of some savings. I mean, last year we were like not buying a truck because it was so far over what we were expecting. So that was good. And Mike Morty's already got all of his 3 projects out for Bear River, Stokes Gulch Creek, culverts.
Yeah, I saw him in the newspaper on Sunday.
Good. Yeah. I'd still like to talk to you about maybe getting a page or a quarter page for some of those bits because it seems like I'm in there every... Purchasing is in there every Sunday, and you know we kind of get mixed in the crowd.
Oh, and have just all the Rob County.
So we need to work on what our legal responsibilities are too. I haven't been really happy about having to do that posting too. You know,
our legal responsibility by Colorado is 2 weeks.
In the newspaper of local circulation, which we really don't even have a newspaper of local circulation anymore.
Well, it's called a steamboat. I think we might have an argument there.
When they again, we've had that conversation when they quit charging.
No, but
when,
Eric
when they're not having
the
Sunday press.
But Eric confirmed that it still is.
That we still have to. Okay.
Yeah, we asked him about it.
Okay.
To your point around an ad, I mean, maybe something to look at. I was talking to Christy the other day. She purchased an ad package from the pilot, and so it's like $2,000 a year, and it gives you 5 full pages that you can divide up anyway or whatever. So that might be the way to think about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree that was the best use of her funds since she had $100,000 to work with and knew there was going to be all these community outreach ads to get people involved in the strategic plan.
Is advertising a PBB program on its own?
I don't know.
Or is it something else?
I don't know. That was really handled off by Dan. I mean, I sat in some of them. So
I'd
be happy to take a look at it because I think it could be of value to us that people are looking for Route County notices.
But again, it's also looking at PBB. That's an example of a program. It feels like a program because virtually every department has some level of advertising.
Exactly.
It would be nice to be able to say this is what advertising costs us around county rather than having to dig through 5 different budgets.
And you could allocate it, you know, like by how many ads are going in per department per.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could definitely get into that.
All right. Back to you.
Yep.
So that's about it right now. I think that we're staying on top of things. Scott Common, apparently we're on hold for his Peaberg liner until we have further discussion.
Yes.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
He was talking about, well, maybe if we have to rescind it. And I said, no, let's just have the discussion first, and then we'll see what we want to put out there.
And he's on the agenda for that, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I told him my pop-up.
Is there anything else that we're on hold for purchasing?
No.
So are you helping with the RFP for the master plan then as well?
Yes.
You're going to be?
I've been working with Christy on that and what the process is. And when, if depending on when she wants the information and when she needs to get it to me. So helping her write us back. I offered to send out through my RMPGA Association, Rocky Mountain Public Purchasing. to everyone to see how they wrote an RFP spec for a master plan, you know, because most counties have had to do this. So I said, don't try to reinvent the wheel, because she seems a little daunted by that process.
Well, and again, I guess we're still involved trying to comprehensive plan, master plan, and then Beth brought up last week, so was that including writing the regulations after we're done?
So that's where I think, with Christy looking at some examples of what other people have done, would be helpful.
Yeah, I think it'd be very helpful.
How much
I only bring it up because I think we ought to be talking about before you send it out.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I
think Christy thinks that too.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, so.
So when were we going to, when's this rough schedule for sending?
She's looking at the end of March for having that done.
So there's a fair amount of, yeah, we're
going to... No, end of March to have the spec done. She wants the RFP in end of May.
Oh, okay.
So I need to issue it April 1st if she wants it in the end of May and up in front of you. So we have some time for all that discussion up front.
And that's actually ahead of the schedule that she had planned because we got the grant award earlier than we expected.
So we're struggling with our agenda because we're just keep running out of time each week. Is that someone getting that plan for being that discussion to be on the agenda?
I think it was up to Christy, but I'll double check.
Would you please?
I will be happy to.
We're trying to
look
a little further ahead than we have. We're getting too many last second.
Well, we can just let Christy know that she should get that on the agenda.
Well, it would help if she would...
I can let her know.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
And if she needs help writing up a form as to why she wants to be in front of it, I'll help.
Okay.
Other than that, do you have any questions for me?
I don't think so.
So do you actually have a list of your projects that you're... Is that what that is?
That's what my... This is my...
I want you to leave that for us.
I think we've seen it already. But it's probably nice to see it in writing. And anytime you want to pop down to my office, I keep a current one on my wall.
Okay.
So that people can come in and see where they are. One of the things I'm also going to be working on that I've told you is the purchasing policy and protocol and procedures. One of the things that Marty did was make the purchasing manual that I started editing when I first started here, was part one was the policy and part two is the procedures, and I'd like to pull that apart. I think that the policy really doesn't need to change as often as the procedures may with the implementation of different modules in units. So I'm thinking it would be best if we pull that apart. And I actually found... I was amazed just last week what was written up at the time that Munis was going live in 2017. This was written in October and approved in November. And it's so simple, and it's exactly what we've been looking for to do without getting involved with Slate and the GFO. There's so many other delays that I've had throughout this process and different edits and different meetings. So I would like to get this finished up and get this in front of you very soon so that we can include P-card policy in here. We can include the fact that a requisition precludes any purchase going forward over $5,000 since we have the $5,000 cap on the credit cards. That means everything else needs a requisition. There's no more ambiguousness amongst departments. And we standardize that process.
Do you need to talk to Eric about this?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, can you look far enough ahead to start getting something on the agenda now rather than...
Yes, I will.
That'd be great.
And as soon as I can sit down with Eric when he has a few moments, I walked by his office and he goes, I can't even talk.
So he's just stressed out from last week. He's just whining.
He'll get there.
We'll get there. But anyway, if that's all right with you, I think that our procedures may change with different software implementation. Oh, and by the way, the P-card implementation for Munis, because there's a module that feeds from J.P. Morgan into Munis, is on site next week on the 10th through the 12th. So that'll be all done before we even start charging.
And that's the one where it automatically, unlike the Wells Fargo one where you had to download on a...
Yeah. Yeah.
So that won't impact really any of the end users. It's they'll be using the JP Morgan interface.
Right.
And then it pulls it
I think that the interface is really easier there. Anyway, it looks like you have quite the crowd, so I'm not going to hold you up.
So is this the part of MUNA, the 2019 MUNIS?
Mm-hmm. We're actually implementing in 2011.3, and then it'll go through the updates just like
everything.
Okay,
you're answering my question. That's what I wanted to know.
And the workflow will be all the same as what we currently have, our workflow for approving purchases.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Who's coming up, and do we need to rearrange the table?
Do you guys want this?
No, we can reserve to give it back to.
Do you know what?
No, I read it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Laura and I are planning on presenting, but we are not alone in this big venture. So if you guys
want to
follow,
all right. This team mentality I'm really feeling here.
I guess so.
We do have a PowerPoint.
You're on your own.
Maybe we should throw it up on the big screen with this.
It's just a handful of slides, so.
Deanna will set it up. We'll
perfect.
Just throw it up on the big screen.
Okay. And the sake of. Should we wait for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Are you going to put it on that
basket?
All
on the
projector. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You
got it. Okay.
Thank you.
Then
just help you
with
feedback.
So awesome. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
To work on this. So we do. Do you guys have an hour for us, or do we need to be on a quicker time?
Nope, you're
okay.
An hour, yes.
We will still try to power through, but I want to start with giving you all a little bit of history as to how we got here today. Back in, I believe, August of last year, Ben Bell Sr. Asked for some time with myself and some of our staff members to chat about or to relay some concerns that the Strawberry Park HOA group was having with traffic and parking problems in their area, really focused Strawberry Park, Hot Springs area, and that Lower Bear Trailhead, and then up on Buff Pass. So we kind of chatted around internally after meeting with Ben and talked through, you know, what could we do, and thought it would be, if we were going to get involved, we wanted to take a broader approach, not just kind of like focus on these very specific pinch point areas. And from there, we met with Tara Humphreys in the Forest Service and additional Strawberry Park HOA community members to chat further about what we could do, how we could team up together, and what does this look like. And we all thought that it was really important discussion to have. I personally don't feel, and I don't think through the meetings that we've had, that any of us feel as though we're in a situation similar to some of our friends throughout the state, Hanging Lake being an example, as well as Chautauqua Park in Boulder. They had to put very specific plans together for those areas because they were having such major congestion. I think we're at a fantastic point to be having this discussion and get a bit ahead of it. And so anyway, we're talking about who's going to start diving into this. Where do we start? What does this discussion look like? What are the goals? And right about that same time, John Bristol, our economic development director, had applied for and was awarded an OEDIT technical assistance grant for a project with OREC businesses that he was working on. And we were able to split that into two projects, which was absolutely fantastic, and brought in, we were able to have a team of CU Masters of Environment students use their last semester before they graduated, analyzing what are the areas of concern in our region, and what are other people doing, and what could we possibly do. So they came up, that team came up twice in the fall, and then they had a number of different meetings with individual stakeholders, many of the people that are in this room, and more. That really, again, the goal was, what does this overall look like? Having somebody from a step back come in, pull together a lot of different constituents' thoughts, and put together some recommendations for us to start to kind of chew on and think about. So we, Laura, in December, here are some of the stakeholders who can move forward that were participating in this effort. Certainly more, but a great mix, really collaborative group trying to certainly support and give the CU Masters of Environment students everything that they needed before they made their final presentation to us in mid-December. Can move forward. From here I'll hand it over to Laura to go into their recommendations.
Sure. So within the process, this group, as Kara mentioned, did different interviews with stakeholders as well as with Kara and I, and just trying to assess the situation, what would be the best path for moving forward. So they ultimately came up with two different approaches. So the first recommendation, that we're just calling a technology approach. So to create new and leverage existing technology or media platforms. And then the second one is to institute or initiate small to large scale regional recreation planning. So it was kind of twofold. The first was a desire for our group to really see some sort of quick win, something that we can implement right away, take care of some, at once issues that we have. And then the group also recommended some further down the road planning to look so that we have this in place, but what can we do to look forward? And so they had this two-pronged approach with the recommendations. So the first one, recommendation, is technology. And the idea here was the quick win at once benefit that some, especially some of the Strawberry Park Homeowners Association were looking for. And option A is really looking at what do we already have in place that we can leverage for this purpose. They did an inventory, and we've done one internally as well, of all the different avenues that are currently out there. So many different organizations have their own apps, for example, or websites. The Chamber has a website. The city has a website with lots of resources. The ski area has their own website with resources. Apps, there's quite a few local organizations with apps.
We have a website, too.
Exactly. Yes, Rapp County does. Well, I was going to call out Rapp County for the app that we have. Yeah. The city has a great app.
State app.
CDOT has a great app. There are lots of different resources that are already out there. So how can we leverage some of those? Without, as this mentions, recreating the wheel. So what can we do to magnify what we already have, but to include all these different partners in those? And obviously that's more cost-effective instead of coming with a brand-new approach. I'll call it here. It says utilize Chamber RRR. That's the Rapp County Roundtable, Rapp Recreation Roundtable. And so they did factor that group into this equation on a couple different slides, so we'll mention that as we go through it. But Route Recreation Roundtable did purchase a domain for potential use for a website that we could also use for this process.
So what was the domain they purchased?
RouteRecreation.org. Okay.
Thank you.
Option B here, we talk about? Yeah.
I have a question about A. So when you say that you've inventoried all these are just platforms that exist, right? Not platforms that are doing the kind of like this parking lot's full or that trail hasn't. They're not already being used for that type of
thing. Some are messaging, but okay. it's all over the board.
Okay. Yeah, an example of that.
That we could use somewhere that there's already information that's being provided, but it's very specific to that one area.
Okay.
And it's only, you can only get it through Twitter, or you can only get it through their website. So it's across the gamut.
Yeah, and the idea there was to look at what's already out there and that everyone is kind of not doing things in silos, but really meeting their immediate needs. So the county's obviously putting things about the county on there, and the Forest Services has Forest Service information. But we don't have that one central hub that puts everything together. So yeah, this is just what's out there already being utilized by different agencies. So the section that second one, option B, is looking at new technologies that we can implement that is real-time information sharing. So some of the examples that they gave us was, for example, this mentions LotSpot. That's a technology that it's an online app, and you can see how many cars go into a parking lot, and it tallies up the total spots available. And so as a car enters, it deducts the number of available spots. As a car leaves, it adds it back into the inventory. So it's a real-time inventory tool that you can see how many parking spaces are available. Or live stream cameras, for example, putting those at popular trailheads or at, for example, dry lakes, so you can see what does it look like up there at any given moment. Another example they gave for real-time sharing is Twitter. CDOT does a great job of utilizing Twitter for real-time information sharing. If you want to find out when Rabbit Ears is closed or when I-70 is closed, it's that kind of up-to-minute real-life information. That's a great tool. Twitter's a great tool for that. So, and the benefits there, real-time updates. And then visitors can decide, they can look at whatever that application is and make a decision if they're going to go there or choose to go someplace else based on how busy that is. So the second part of that plan, the second part of the recommendation, is long-term planning. So we looked at both short, long-term, and longer-term planning, really looking at what are the available options out there. And so as part of these conversations, the Rock County Master Plan came up into that conversation quite a bit. And the object there is to utilize that route recreation roundtable and just some of the other public engagement that you're getting as you're going through this master planning process. And is there an opportunity to fold some of what we're talking about into that master plan? So part of that is having all the communication in one place as you're looking at what this master plan could be, using land managers and all that information and putting it into the bigger picture master plan. The second smaller scale part of that, and this option B, is to develop a recreation report. So something separate that specifically talks about recreation. And with this, you know, it requires fewer resources as it's not going into a full-blown route, you know, county master plan, but could be an addendum or a separate program that specifically talks about recreation. And using those fewer resources, but still being able to gather all the information from these partners and utilizing that into one bigger long-term plan. And in the end, what these CU master students decided would be the best option to go forward would be to combine these two resources. So one, to come up with a short-term plan, that technology, whether it's a website, or using a Twitter platform or some sort of at-once real-time information tool, and then combining that with a longer-term planning strategy. So one example that they gave us was this hypothetical application for Buff Pass. And when we looked at what the options are currently and what we could do going forward on Buff Pass, they gave us a bunch of different specific tools that would leverage both of those options together. So, for example, they talked about, is there an opportunity to get some funding together to hire some temporary staff to monitor the parking lot? If that's not an option, do we have local volunteer resources that we could leverage to different land agencies or, you know, have their own volunteer groups we could tap for that to really look at the parking lot and answering questions and moving people throughout that space? Another thing they had was implementing some of these technology solutions like a parking lot cam. So if we have a live feed parking lot cam from that site, that could be onto our website or the Route Recreation Roundtable website, whatever that home, that technology home is, that'd be a great place to put a parking lot cam. The other thing, if we had a website that houses all of this information, it could have the parking lot cam, it could have up-to-date trail information, these trails are open, these trails are closed, this trail is under construction, any specific real-time information that we would need. they also looked at a Twitter feed that we could use for really dispensing that same type of information. But the Twitter feed could appear on this universal webpage that houses all that information. Lot spot was another thing we talked about. That was the ingoing, outgoing parking lot technology in addition or in place of the parking lot camera. And the final thing that they mentioned that we could apply on Buck Pass would be just a lot of education resources. So if we have all these tools, we obviously need to get the word out and let people know that we have the tools. So the last part of their plan, recommendation would be to use extensive marketing and communications tool to get the word out about these types of programs.
Here are a few case studies that they referenced in their work. All of them, except for Chautauqua, are broader plans. Again, that was focused on, you know, one specific area, one specific park. So where we are today is next steps. This all came about with the desire to take care of the incredible outdoor resources that we have at our fingertips. We have them here as part of a huge part of quality of life for our residents, and also a really big part of why people choose to visit this area. So we wanted at the high level to figure out ways that were realistic that we could put into place. I think the CU team did a great job of hearing that we aren't going to have the ability to have kind of a kiosk like there is at Fish Creek Falls and have a person there saying, yes, you can come, no, you can't, at every different trailhead or put in on the river. It's just not realistic to think that. So a lot of it is focused on how can we encourage people to be well-educated and make the right decision, hopefully before they've gotten there. We talked a lot about both residents and visitors. They get up to Buff Pass, and if the lot is full, they're going to figure something out because their mind's set on that's where they're going to go, rather than, you know, if they looked at a webcam from their home before they decided to leave and saw that it was really a full parking lot, maybe they would have made a different decision at that point. So how can we help guide people to make the right decision was a lot of this focus and effort that I just wanted to hit on. But in terms of next steps, here's what the team, the CU team, recommended. Right now, Laura and her team are looking at how we can, what a like digital home base for all these resources that are already in place, be pulled together. If you have to really know what you're looking for to find out what website, what Twitter handle, what app to go to for any number of our amazing recreation opportunities. So how can we make it more streamlined for all of our users? And then to be able to apply for grants, we haven't jumped into that one yet. Really feel like we need to have probably a larger plan and to be able to explain what the role of said request would fit. And so item number three up here is really what we wanted to chat with you guys today about.
Which ones again, you said?
Item number three.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Yep. So, you know, there are so many different entities that are involved in our outdoor recreation, so many different landowners, different user groups. You know, there's just a lot of different organizations and entities that need to be a part of this. But we did continually come back to, you know, there is this master plan coming up that you guys are working on. Is this the right place for to really put in stone how important it is of our managing our outdoor recreation resources? We've been using destination management. That's just been easy for us to kind of use and focus on. But we want to talk to you about whether or not there is a home for managing this, kind of putting together what what do we want in the next 5, 10, 15 years out of our outdoor recreation resources? We all know that the county doesn't own all of the resources, but not one entity does. And to find an entity that can move forward the conversation and bring together the key players and continue to monitor something that is incredibly important to all of our residents. Outdoor rec, you know, like I said, it's a main reason why some people move here. It also is a big, you know, it's people's livelihood. They have jobs related to their outdoor rec and all of that. So we wanted to kick off some conversations about certainly sharing with you this study and the work that so many different entities in the community and community members have been working on and putting time and effort into, but also talk about how we can partner moving forward with this. I don't know if it's possible, but if we could, if anybody else has anything that they would like to share that we haven't hit on.
Well, maybe if, before we invite mm-hmm.
Ask some questions.
Folks in the audience, maybe a few quick comments from us.
Please.
Might be appropriate and may stimulate the conversation. And so I'm happy to go first.
You get a chance.
I have some comments here, but you volunteer. Go for it.
You pick who goes first.
So it strikes me that there's two particular things mm-hmm. that you're trying to address here. And the more immediate one, we have a parking issue, mm-hmm. right? So, and I understand that, and there's different ways to approach it, but that's a very different issue than the bigger resource of our national forests, of our public lands, and so, and that's fine. I think it's great to divide it into those two issues. Do I have that about right?
We definitely have talked about, as part of this, expanding the information and education from the chamber standpoint. We've, this last year, you know, really tried to have partnered with Leave No Trace and Pledge for the Wild in hopes to better educate visitors on what is appropriate to actions for when you're out in the wilderness when you're out hiking and biking and all of that. Certainly Forest Service and CBW have been doing that for eons, so you know, jumping onto that. But that the education piece is a big part of it too, as I mentioned, trying to get that people to make better help people make better decisions.
But still, it's the parking issue that's really sparked this. Feels like.
And traffic.
Traffic on our roads.
Traffic and parking, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's a train wreck up at Buffalo Pass and mm-hmm. many times during the winter, for sure. Mm-hmm. And lots of our parking lots are overflowing. So that's what's kind of, it feels like what has sparked this, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, what really sparked it when we had the parking on 38A.
Right, exactly. So we could take steps, and you guys have suggested mm-hmm. steps to address that problem. It doesn't really address many of the other resource mm-hmm. issues out in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. And then, do you feel like that the RAP Recreation Roundtable won't on its own be able to address some of these issues?
We've had a lot of conversation about that, and just really being cognizant of potential duplicative efforts, and we have a number of people who sit on the Route Rec Roundtable and who've also been part of this effort, and the decision has been to continue the work that we're doing and move forward as best we can, and when the time is right for us to come together, we'll do that. But right now, we wanted to continue moving this forward as the Route Rec Roundtable, I think, is still defining the vision and action plan for what they want to accomplish. But to my understanding, I'm not on that.
So I just have a couple of comments here. You know, and again, I appreciate the study, and we've had the study. We got it way back when you guys got done, and we're realizing of the situation as well, and I appreciate the chamber stepping out and getting, and John, you guys getting the grant. It seems to me we need to have come to some understanding of the ownership of this thing, and it can't be one of us anyhow. We all know that. I think all of us agree mm-hmm. that it can't be one of us, mm-hmm. whether it's the chamber, whether it's the county, whether it's the city, whether it's Forest Service, right. and all of that. So I don't know. And I personally, I'm fine with the work that the Recreation Roundtable is mm-hmm. doing, mm-hmm. but I think we still need to have a group of the people that are making this thing happen be in a smaller group mm-hmm. to actually do some actionable steps mm-hmm. in my mind is what you guys talked about, what the study came up with mm-hmm. was do some actionable steps that somebody is actually pushing, driving, and making sure that happens. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, well, we'll all talk about it and think about it, and it all looked good, and, you know, we had it all on paper, and but nobody had the role to take it forward. So I don't know who that is, whether that's a group out of one of all of us in the setting mm-hmm. and coming up with the specific plan down to the nuts and bolts mm-hmm. and coming up with the plan to finance it, and then who owns it mm-hmm. and because there's a lot of logistics in who owns it too. I mean who's managing it mm-hmm. both in the reliability and the management of it, as well as the perception of the management of it in my mind as well. So and what purpose are we managing it for? So, and I think all that needs to come out in the long run too. So I've been thinking about this myself for quite a bit too. And, you know, I think you guys are on the right track. I think all of us are on the right track mm-hmm. to figure out how. I think we just need to come up with next steps and mm-hmm. figure out what they are and how we can actually get one at a time, maybe moved from start to finish on it, and then work on a second one. And we work on the most problematic child's and children, or however they want to be classified, and see how we can work on. You know, I'm supportive of the master plan. I attended the last route recreation thing, and, you know, we are sitting here with the master plan, and we want the community, and Beth's been very vocal, the community, to drive this master mm-hmm. plan. Again, I'm very skeptical about having a bunch of stuff in the plan that I can't control or have my grasp around, that I really, and while it can be a plan, I just don't want to get a bunch out there that in this plan that I can't actually make happen. But I think with this roundabout group that we might be able to have, you know, with Tara and Forest Service and Strawberry Park Group and County and our Road and Bridge and the rest, maybe we can have some of these happen. But I think we need to start up with, I mean, just come up with a group and come up with a project and get a project done. How we do it, and part of the group. Enough said.
Yeah. So I think that it makes a lot of sense that this falls under kind of the broad purview of land management. But the real challenge is that we don't really manage any of the land that we're talking about. You know, Route County doesn't. And so, you know, I think similar to what Doug's saying, Route County could do a bunch of work through our master plan and say, well, here's how we want to manage recreation across the county, and then the Forest Service can still do whatever they want. And you know, we don't have any regulatory authority to kind of implement that. And so there's really a need on the front end for this to be a collaborative effort, because there's no point in us going through that whole process and doing that to then have the Forest Service say, well, we didn't agree to that and we don't really care. I mean, I think we have people who, Tara's laughing, who wouldn't necessarily say that, but the process.
You care. We know you care.
We know you care, but you may not always be here, Tara. So I think it's the challenge in my mind is coming up with what does that look like, where there's buy-in from all the stakeholders. And we've been talking about there are pressing community issues that we recognize the county doesn't own and isn't going to fix, but that we can be a convener for some of these conversations. And I think this is a good example of where we could do that. The other challenge I see is that it feels like that's also the goal of the Route Recreation Roundtable. And so how do we do that without, well, let's just form another group that's supposed to do the same thing, but it's different people, you know, and so what does that look like? And I guess in an ideal scenario, and I don't think we are in an ideal scenario, quite frankly, the Route Recreation Roundtable would really be a group of those stakeholders that could make recommendations to the master plan that could be signed on to by all parties. I guess I'm a little worried that maybe the way the Route Recreation Roundtable has been set up isn't going to allow that to happen, because it's a very broad group of users, not necessarily of land managers, who need to agree on these things. And that process was initiated by the city, you know, for a very specific purpose around the Mad Rabbit trailhead and coming to, or at least it's perceived that way, whether that was the case or not. I'll be interested to hear what Tara has to say, but that's been my observation is, well, this was just to address the Mad Rabbit issue. So then the buy-in, I think, is a little harder for that group to take it on if that is kind of the perception. Right. Mm-hmm. And I will say, one of the our beloved members of the Planning Commission the other day was saying to me that his perception is, well, this is all steamboat people, and they just want all of Route County to be their playground, and it's just people coming and taking, they just want to use whatever parts they want, and that this is steamboat's problem, though, which is, I don't know how broadly that type of perception is shared, but I think there's a little bit of a challenge there, too, and I guess I'm sort of rambling, but really, this needs to be a collective effort of all the land managers with some shared buy-in on, we agree that within Route County, this is how we want things to be managed, knowing that there's really no regulatory authority to do that.
So, my follow-up just briefly, I'll try not to ramble.
No, you're okay. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention, though, is the effort that Matt Scheer
yep.
forwarded to you, because I yep. was just looking back at that. He's an Eagle County commissioner, and there are some efforts of, what's that group called? Northern Colorado Recreation or something like that. But they have, I was just pulling back up the information he had sent to us, and they have some intention of, I mean, for lack of a better word, lobbying the federal delegation to get some buy-in into some of the work they're doing around recreation.
It's called the Rec Growth Forum, and it's concentrated on Front Range issues, use of the public lands by all the people coming up from the Front Range. So,
but to the extent that federal piece of it might align with some of our goals, we may want to have some conversation with them, too.
They may be a model. So a brief effort to try to sum up some of the thoughts here. I think what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the master plan process or the creation of a master plan, in essence, it's an aspirational document more than it is any kind of a regulatory document. So personally, I'm a little skeptical of, I'm highly hopeful that the master plan will end up coming with some aspirations for what recreation looks like and how the public lands will be used in Route County, but to echo what Beth said, we can't really tell anybody what to do. So it'll be nice to put some language in there, and I think to kind of echo what Doug was saying is that it's probably not going to be the master plan. It's not going to be the document that drives us to where we need to get to. It's going to be some other group or group of groups that will get us there. And then again, I guess I'm still feeling very much like, and this is great, you guys have brought forward some concrete recommendations that we can work at implementing to address parking and road issues and congestion issues. Mm-hmm. But then the second half of it is this bigger conversation that we've all been having for some time around, do we want to disperse recreation in Round County into the outlying areas? Is it maybe a better idea that we concentrate it in these areas that are already heavily used? I'm not even sure where I fall on that spectrum. So,
but that actually it would be inspirational to put in the master plan, the concept, that question you're asking right there.
Yeah.
That would be what maybe the master plan ought to kind of have.
Right.
I think just as a small side note on that, I had a suggestion from a constituent the other day that maybe we focus on acquisition of open space that's close to Steamboat so that people can recreate close to Steamboat and they don't have to go out into Valet.
So we already did that.
Right.
It's right over here.
No, I got you. And actually the constituency.
Tell me how you feel about that.
But anyway, I won't get into it. But I guess my point is only that that's an example of just the ways you might think about how you manage recreation. Not that that's the solution, but there are just different ways you can think about it, too, in terms of land use planning.
So I'm going to bet there's a few people out there that are dying to have something to say about this. No? Wow. No? Roger, would you like to say
something? So I think if you do, come on up and have a seat.
Use the microphone.
Sure. This will be very brief.
This is our...
Roger Steen, Strawberry Park Group, this time. And... frankly, Kara and Laura did a great job of outlining all the issues. I thought it was a very good summary. I thought I might bring up some safety issues, but I'm not sure if those fall into our bailiwick here. Safety on parking on narrow roads when they shouldn't be, vehicles that slide they're on 38A or they're on the Buff Pass Road and they block it. There is no back door. There's only one road. And if it gets blocked, it means you can't have safe vehicles, you can't get in and out. It's that simple. But I don't think that's the core of what we're talking about. I think that's dealt with through the sheriff. I'm not sure about that, but... that's it. As a local resident, we are concerned and making sure that whatever we come up with addresses both tourism and locals, not just one or the other. And that's pretty much it. Thanks.
I would be really interested, Tara, if you would be willing to give your thoughts on how this interfaces with the REC Roundtable and where you see that going.
Yeah, Chris, if you can jump in on that too, you've got a strong feeling.
Come on up, give us one of them.
Yeah, come on up.
And maybe it's a little bit of a preface, and I guess I'm sure Tara would be willing to speak to this. I mean, theoretically, we could cure a lot of these traffic issues by quadrupling and tripling the size of the Dry Lake campground park, right?
Well, it's in the plan.
I mean,
that was presented at the Recreation Roundtable last year.
So that's a potential solution, and I suspect you may not fully approve of it.
Increasing the parking lot size?
Yeah.
So we've gone down the planning path with Dry Lake so far, and I think we've shared that with you. You won't see a large increase in the footprint up there, but you will see some efficiencies around the parking situation, as well as some additional spots at the campground, improvements to the trailhead, and then as we look forward to the road, some improvements we'll be looking to do around a National Federal Highways Safety Initiative.
But I'd be curious for you to speak to why it's not a good idea to dramatically increase the size of that parking lot.
I wouldn't say that it's not necessarily a good idea, but there is pluses and minuses with every choice that we choose to make. And I think one of the things that we've seen is, you know, you build things and people will populate them and they will fill them. And really, I think as we try to be good partners with you guys in the county and our neighbors in Strawberry Park, and we look at that area, there's just not much that road can tolerate, right? We sort of bottleneck as we try to access that. And so we do have choices around what really the capacity is up there in some ways. And I think we'll learn more about the capacity over the coming years as we start to...
And you must have some concerns about how many... I mean, it's not just a parking lot situation. If you have a much bigger parking lot, you have that many more cars and snowmobiles and users, there must be some issues of resource degradation.
You stumped her.
I know. Thanks.
Trap question.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm looking at Tim. Like,
No.
Sure.
I have no idea how many snowmobiles you're using that going up the road every day. And I say it's 100 snowmobiles. Is 500 too many?
Yeah, and I don't think we have a point on that number, but I think that one of the things that Destination Manager lends itself to is really trying to establish some social norms, some resource protection, some environmental education, all of these pieces. You know, we are at the point where we have to acknowledge that we're going to have this increased recreation and we're going to have it in our community to some degree, even if we do disperse it and share with our neighboring counties who might enjoy some of our recreation. Or outlying portions of our county, but I think that we can have an effect on how some of that usership takes place.
Can I ask them to answer my question now?
Sure.
Thanks. Will you guys talk about kind of where you see the Route Rec Roundtable going and how that may or may not interface with the county having a role through our master plan update in these conversations? I mean, either or.
Yeah, well, first off, Chris Middledorf, Area Wildlife Management, Parks and Wildlife. I want to dispel some of the myths. Right now, the roundtable is really still forming, trying to figure out its position. We've had changes with the executive committee due to FACA rules with our federal partners, whether we can be a consensus committee with a minority opinion. And I think right now all the partners, the executive committee, may have the county, the city, BLM, State Land Board, CPW, and Forest Service are seeing about changing that vision. How that 25-person body of our recreational user groups, our conservation groups, can provide input to the county, not necessarily trying to drive what the county's doing in their planning. So I think that what that tells me is that we need to sit down in front of you and have an open conversation about what the roundtable actually is and what it can do. To go back to destination management, I think it's a huge opportunity for us to consolidate it into one house, as you've already heard today. We do have the routerecreation.org already set up. Again, we have, you mentioned about the who are the people that make up that. It's not necessarily the 25 committee members. That's the five major land managers, or six, that are currently in the county. And I think we can be the leaders of putting that together. The big question comes up is funding. But I think having one website, and I don't like to use a website, but that's what it is. I imagine a place where I can go that has a map that shows everything that's going on in the county related to recreation. I can click on something and see what parking is like on Buffalo Pass. Maybe not a video, but something like you see with Google Maps, where you have the indicators of when it's really busy. You know, at the same time, on the left-hand side of the website, you have every land manager, Route County, the city, us, the Forest Service, where you can click the link and go right to the Bears Ears Hans Peak Ranger District and learn more about things. And then the roundtable itself takes more of a smaller role, you know, on that website of what the roundtable does. But destination management being part of routerecreation.org. The big question I have about it is funding and where that's coming from. Right now, we're going through a process, all of the partners, including yourselves, on how much do we pay into the roundtable to have facilitation, who would manage a website like this. Those questions are yet to be answered. I hope that we can wait a couple more months. I think you'll see something from CPW and DNR coming out here in a couple months on partnerships across the whole entire state, where we're looking at funding opportunities and how to really stand up these recreation roundtables. So I think this really has some feet underneath it, and we can potentially house it under the roundtable. I think we need to clarify with you what that roundtable is actually doing, and hopefully you can provide us with what you would like to see out of it.
So I heard, so Kara and Laura's presentation was kind of broken into the two components, the technology solution and then more of the regional recreation planning. So I heard you talk about the technology solution and where you see that going, and what do you think that the Rec Roundtable could offer or the role of that group could be in terms of more the regional planning conversation?
I have my own opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking for.
I think with the six executive committee members, you know, all of us having an opportunity to talk and come up with strategy, come up with shared ideas, but recognize that I have my own DAU plans.
Yeah.
Tara has her own forest management plan, and those still have their independent roles. But really looking at those six executive committee members as being ones to kind of run forward with it. The remaining part of the roundtable is those are the people who are part of our community. They come from every recreational background. They come from conservation, quiet use. I mean, again, it's pretty heavy. It's very burdensome for us to manage a table that large, but it's also very inclusive. And I think it'd be nice if they could drive the vision of what they would like to see recreation look like here in Route County. I know a lot of it will be steamboat-centric at first, but as we continue to expand and develop out from that, I think we can get some good input from folks. I'd like them to be able to come to me as a 22, 25-person group and say, this is what we think CPW should do with the E2 herd plan. And I would take into consideration their consensus with minority opinion, or at least everybody's opinion, so they have an opportunity to give us some feedback. Whether or not I implement their recommendations, that's, you know, I wouldn't say we can guarantee that, but to let them drive that vision forward. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
So, again, not to beat a dead horse, I'm getting back to this destination management. The first part of it still feels like the management of parking lots and roads and accesses as issue number one, and then we have this longer-term issue of how we're going to deal with recreation writ large
yes.
around the county. It's also interesting when you refer to Brown County as a land manager. Oh, well, we don't really own anything.
Yeah, the only thing we own is a 60-foot piece. A whole bunch of 60-foot pieces around the county.
So I just think it's a little bit bigger than that, Tim, beyond parking. I think that's what Ben brought to our attention was parking and residents and roads. But I think it's so much larger when we think about who we are as a community, right? I mean, we have interfaces with sheep guard dogs and sheep. And, you know, it's having those conversations with people about you're coming to our community, you're recreating in our city watershed, you're, you know, interfacing with our producers in the Northwest area. And it's much larger than just parking or roads, right? It's many more issues in terms of just sharing even our wildlife closures, you know, supporting our friends at CPW and, you know, how to create these social norms to invoke resource protection and for folks to have a good user experience when they come here and want to come back, but just sort of helping them play maybe the steamboat way, if you will, or the route recreation way. Or
I totally agree with that, but it feels like we have this short-term crisis that we kind of need to work on more quickly before, you know, I wouldn't want to wait to create that entire vision of recreation in Brown County and educating everybody that comes here before we deal with the parking lot issue on Buffalo Pass.
Well, that was my point. I think we ought to pick things we can start working on, whether it's this route recreation subcommittee or committee or whatever, so we can start working on projects. And we and again, back to Chris's comments, we still need ownership of that. And who's going to own it? Who's going to manage it? I mean, worst thing we could do is have a website up to nobody that wasn't kept up.
Yeah.
That's even worse than having one. So.
Well, and you're kind of talking about two types of problems. I mean, and you're talking about two types of solutions, right? I mean, you're talking about a technical problem with a technical solution, and then you're talking about something that's much bigger picture and more visionary in terms of the way that we do recreation in Brown County, right? Versus like, where are the sheepdogs and where are the, you know, where are the road closures and where are the parking lots full? And so it sounds like there's a thought that maybe the Route Recreation Roundtable has some role in both of those to a degree.
They do. I don't think it's necessarily, yeah. I don't think the lines are necessarily clear or discrete as we would want them.
Yeah.
You know, helping people to make those choices and those educated choices around their recreation is really a big part of it. And, I just wanted to visit a little bit, Beth, about your comment about the formation of the Route Recreation Roundtable.
Yeah.
So we really wanted to capitalize on having smoke in the air with, if you will. It's not something I learned from my fire background.
Guns drawn or smoke?
No, just when there's smoke in the air, people are really engaged in wildland fire issues. When they're
that's smoke.
When they're not, no one is engaged. So we had an opportunity to create this, knowing that it would potentially be a short term, four sessions to visit around the mad rabbit topic, but that this was really the opportunity to aggregate a group and hopefully have a longer term vision about having a sustainable recreation body that could perhaps, you know, craft a strategic vision about recreation for the longer term, because it really felt like we would need that. And so maybe that was the wrong architectural foundation for that group, but at the time it felt like something that people were really willing to engage in, and often people aren't willing to engage unless it's a crisis. And so just a little bit about kind of the thought process behind
that. I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I would just say that at least from our vantage point and the information we've received, you know, the city remains the fiscal agent on that project, and that it was started by that conversation, and so it may just take some time to create distance between those two things, I guess is really where my comments come from.
And just so you're aware, we completely reformed that table with completely new members through a whole new public process.
Right.
And it's not based on the Mad Creek, the Rabier's Trail proposal.
Okay. And you're still very much calibrating.
Yeah.
But it's still not a countywide recreation roundtable.
Yes, it is.
Not what you have our ag represent.
And if you'd like to, Doug, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Whether
here,
but I
think
feel like ag is maybe underrepresented.
Yeah. I'll put it out here right now.
Yeah.
I reached out.
I know you did, and we all kind of. But, you know, when we started with the plan, it really was the Mad Creek. We don't have any ag up there anymore. All the ag's out there. There isn't no ag up there. So why would any of the ag people want to be up there?
And especially if we start talking about dispersing recreational activities.
That'll bring some people to the table.
Yes, it will, for sure. And I have a question for you, Tara. Is there a timeline for your ranger district to update its forest plan?
No. So that happens at the supervisor's office level, at the whole Medicine Bow route.
Okay.
Right now we have two distinct plans, one for the Medbow and one for the route, and actually a third for the Thunder Basin grasslands. So likely we will go into plan revision at some point, but I have not heard a time frame from the regional office who says and dictates really when we go into plan revision, and it's largely based on capacity and ability.
And so I know that you don't get to control these things, but... if the Rock Recreation Roundtable ends up becoming a highly functioning group and really is able to put forth a series of recommendations, how will that be looked on by the Forest Service? Because at the end of the day, when we're talking about recreation in Rock County, we're talking about recreation on the National Forest for the most part, right?
Right. To some
extent.
So
it'll be the forest
we are
that will ultimately be the controlling document that really will dictate how recreation takes place in Rock County. Our master plan isn't going to be we're not going to be dictating anything to anybody. We're just going to be advisory and aspirational.
Except to the extent that we would say we are going to do X, Y, and Z in relation to access via, you know, maintenance of our roads. There's some very specific things we could articulate in terms of how we want to support recreational activities being managed in a certain way. But
there's certain kind of county roads we're not going to bother doing that kind of work on. If
right.
The Forest Service is going to limit recreation in that area, why bother improving the road?
Yeah, and so I think it's hugely beneficial to have that group together and have conversations and have collaboration around what they feel like that vision is when it comes time for forest plan revision, and that would certainly contribute to the shared stewardship in the process of getting that plan together. Of course, at the end of the day, it distills down to a NEPA process, and so, you know, you're back on that path, but to have the group together and have thought about this and have robust comments to provide to that process and to have a vision to share in the pre-planning sessions is hugely beneficial. Hugely beneficial.
I get that. And you both of you still believe that the Route Recreation Roundtable could, if it's functioning at its peak, could be the group that provides that kind of input.
Yeah, I do.
I do, Tim.
Okay. That's good enough.
And just real quick, Tim, when you mentioned, or Doug, on the county, you know, doesn't have a land manager, you know, I look at it as the economic development as well, the accessibility, the roads, the transportation.
Yep.
And without you being on that executive committee, we would be remiss to not have the county there.
Right.
And then back to the technical fix versus the long-term strategy, yes, they are definitely two different processes. And what they've presented today with this tool, I think, again, would be well housed underneath one place with the different land managers and the county to be able to manage. But, of course, who is it? Who is the FTE that's going to be assigned? Is it going to be out of the chamber? Is it going to be part of the roundtable? Those are unknowns. And I'm hoping within, you know, this year we'll be able to find some funding sources to be able to look at that to make it long term.
So we've struggled, and especially since under County Manager Weinheimer's left, we've been struggling to figure out what our role is, who you want. Morty goes to the meetings, to the round table, and then progressed and whether I was going to go or need to go or whether I need to be part of the executive committee as a rest. So I guess we're still struggling to try and figure out how this all fits in.
Well, and I mean, part of that, related to that question, I mean, who's recommending to who about what? And so I think some clarification in terms of the roundtable would be really helpful.
Especially if the scope of the thing is now turned into all of Rob County and not that revenue areas. So I think.
Yeah, and again, that's misinformation. We've failed to provide you the information. It's the Rob County Recreation Roundtable. We're going to talk about Seed House. We're going to talk about the Flat Tops. We're going to talk about Yamba and everything else when we get there. Certainly things have been very steamboat-centric in Buffalo Pass.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know. I appreciate hearing that.
And then, you know, I just share my opinion. On these executive committees, I understand why the Forest Service and BLM can't have their decision-makers there due to rules. But I do like having decision-makers and people that are able to understand policy and create policy. And it can be challenging for people to come in there and not exactly know where the decision-makers want to go. But the idea for the...
Well, it puts us in a bad place when we send somebody there without having that authority as well.
Yeah. And right now, the only way that things come onto the agenda is that land manager or the county brings it up and wants to address it with the larger committee and get some very short-term or immediate feedback from the committee members. Committee members can also ask the executive committee if they would be willing to discuss something that is of interest to them.
So... in the interim, because we do have to move on to something else here shortly. I guess what I think I'm hearing is that the Route Recreation Roundtable may be the proper organization to implement both the short-term and the long-term strategies, or to advise to them. I mean, ultimately, if we're going to implement this first part, which I keep talking as parking, I understand is more than just parking, but it...
The technical fix.
If we can find a way to empower the Route Recreation Roundtable to actually perform that work, does that make any sense?
I mean, my only opinion, the Chamber drove this project, and they look at commerce and economic development. I think they're a wonderful house. But if we have another place that has all the land managers and has the county and the city, it's a good home as well.
I'm not pushing for one or the other. I'm asking for everybody's opinion. I mean,
well, the chamber participates in the Route Recreation.
Yeah, but maybe the chamber would be better suited to actually implement this first phase of destination management.
We don't have ownership of it. My concern of it going to a new place is getting people there. Is getting people to that location. If I'm coming in,
you mean
if I live here, but if I'm coming in from Kansas City, I don't know, to search for Route Recreation. Yeah, I don't know how many of them early. But we by no means have, if Route Rec Roundtable can take it on and manage it, and there's a commitment from the stakeholders to keep it going for
Selfishly, I think it gives strength to RouteRecreation.org and the Route Recreation Roundtable to have destination management being a primary function.
So, who's got a suggestion for next steps?
Can I? I just want to
come on up, sir, because we want you on the microphone.
So I totally appreciate all this work. But when I think of destination management, it's a bigger issue. I think of this from the perspective of sustainable tourism, and that so we're looking at both our natural resources and our cultural resources, our community, and so it's not just recreation. And so I want to be thoughtful about one. I think that is partly why I see a value of having some kind of statement in the master plan, because to kind of state the value of our natural and our cultural resources and our community. So, and I think destination management is not just management of our recreational resources. It's a much broader topic, and we need to be thinking 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road when our population has increased and our tourism has increased, and we're not just looking at trail access, but we're looking at all the other issues.
So is everybody, because let's face it, our master plan isn't going to be updated in least a year. So does everybody just want to wait and see what the master plan
looks I think these can run in parallel, and I think we can start addressing these immediate issues and then be thinking bigger picture about destination management. And other communities, it is the chamber who actually is the destination management organization. And they are the ones who are the convener and really doing that long-term planning and monitoring. So,
yeah.
So I would just, I guess, I appreciate what Sarah just said about, in my mind, the master plan probably contains or will contain some statements about how we manage tourism in this sustainable way and what we believe about that and the types of policies the county might adopt that are in that are worked toward that goal. But that's not going to address this bigger picture of how do we bring together the Forest Service and CPW and the chamber and the city and to right. have a more comprehensive plan. And the master plan probably isn't the place that's going to have that bigger, like, how do we accomplish that between all the partners? And it sounds like, based on what Chris is saying, and this makes perfect sense to me, that via that executive committee of the Route Recreation Roundtable, that type of effort could be accomplished. And maybe the chamber, I don't think the chamber's on that executive committee though, right? So the chamber might be a really important partner in that. But that where I've been not sure of the Recreation Roundtable's ability to accomplish that is with that big group, almost just a huge group, right, of stakeholders, because that's more the group to give input to that process, but maybe not to really develop the plan in the end, because it's kind of too big of a group to do that. And so
we're definitely
over time.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I have one more comment. So I don't mind if the chamber was to be the convener of this thing, a tool, and start even doing it. I would appreciate that you didn't do it under the chamber's tenor, and maybe do it under Route Recreation as well, because we still have quite a few people out here to stop the brutal marketing, the steamboat, and the rest.
Right.
So I don't want to throw mud in you guys' face for just taking care of, but helping us take care of ourselves. And so if we use this website and then you guys convened it, I don't know why we wouldn't contribute to that cause to have somebody responsible to being able to do that. I know you guys could do it and would be unbiased, and I would feel comfortable you being unbiased and whatever, but there will be a public perception, well, if the chamber's running it.
We have no ownership if it ever needs to land on my concerns.
But I appreciate you volunteering.
So none of that came out exactly.
So because we are out of time, I'm still not clear on what next steps are.
Yeah, I think we need to have maybe more conversations with the Route Rec Roundtable group.
I think we need to visit with them. We haven't solicited really, their interest level in this. And I think the other thing is destination management. Sarah, you bring up a really good point about holistic destination management. We are not solely recreation tourism here. While it's a large part, there are other pieces to this puzzle. So maybe the Rec Roundtable can support and develop the recreation piece of it if it's something that they're willing to, and you guys still remain the holders of the larger piece of the destination management, and we see where the other pieces evolve. We really only explore the recreation piece of destination management. We might be missing some.
It really was. When we went through the charter, and we've changed it several times, making sure words of conservation and talking about what Sarah has mentioned. So when you see it as recreation, that's what you see it as. And so that is a conversation we need to have. Absolutely. And that's why we have in those members as well. I know we're over time, Tim. When you look at it, it's not just a mountain biker and a trail runner and a horseback rider. You have all the other uses. You have agriculture represented.
Sort of.
And
general conservation.
We've brought in the land trust now as well. So we are trying to add to that diversification that shows all the values of Routt County and not just when we're out playing outside.
Yeah, I agree. And so who's going to do what next?
We'll go back and decide.
I was just going to say, I think it makes sense to me that we don't say, oh, the master plan process is going to do this, because to me that would be saying, well, the Routt Recreation Roundtable, we're just going to do the same thing in parallel. So I guess that doesn't really make sense to me. It makes more sense to me that there might be some recommendations from the Routt Rec Roundtable that are incorporated into the master plan, but not that we try to develop a comprehensive.
Right. I think it's just identifying the value, yeah. Right? That's, I think, the key, that the master plan identifies that value. Mm-hmm.
So, Kara, you said you had a next step, which I've gotten you.
Like, we can circle back up. You know, we've been working on this as Roundtable has been also trying to formalize, so things have been moving along together. Maybe it's a time we need to see if they're ready to take some of this or all of it on. I definitely want to echo what Sarah said in terms of, you know, making sure that it is a priority, you know, whatever role you feel the county can play. Can stay involved, and if it's appropriate for that to be acknowledged in the master plan, not an entire destination or recreation management plan within the master plan, but certainly identified as very important to the community members. But we'll go back and try to circle up on where we feel this next steps might be with our committee that's been working on it for the last couple months.
Great.
Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you very
much. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for letting us go over a little bit.
Kathy?
Step on that.
What? See you.
He's hiding. Hiding in the corner.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you back. Me, personally?
Yeah.
Can we get enough of you guys?
These guys, you know, they're not going to make a decision without you. Not a big one, at least. Which is good.
Are you saying that the two of us are incompetent or what?
No, I'm not. I think it's good collaboration. I think it's a trust thing where you respect her opinion and are going to wait for her when you know it's important for her to weigh in.
Yep,
we're right there with that.
Well, I don't feel that way about you guys, so it's fine.
I think you guys like to claim you're incompetent.
It gives us a good cover and it leaves us of any real responsibility.
So I do have to leave right at 5.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm on solo mom duty.
Okay.
Okay. So,
solo mom.
Did you read the background? Should I recite the background of this? Okay. Well, just for the microphone, I will say that basically accounting is looking to hire a temporary admin 6, which has only been budgeted for 2020 through the year end 2020, and based on multiple factors, Dan Sternat is asking that a request to extend the length of employment for this temporary position, and so he'll present that here today.
And that's what this sheet is, Aaron. We kind of talked about this on Friday, so I apologize for not getting this to you any sooner. But
talked about Friday where? Who?
This that I was going to come and present to you guys.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, what we're looking at here is I don't think we got work life balance. I don't think we've been normal for the last 3 years, and given the list of ideas that we've got coming down the following list, I don't know if we're going to be normal again, for at least another 2 or 3 years.
Can you define normal?
Not having this project load that we got here. This
You're
is
talking
not
40-hour weeks.
Well, the project load, just in general, I mean, this is unprecedented having this kind of a project load out here. And that's where, I think, normal is like when we do, not have these projects. I mean, we may have like a building or something like that come through every once in a while, or a debt issuance or something like that, but we have not had an ERP project of this size, nor have we had, you know, like a biweekly or something like that, all in this thing, you know, in a relatively short time frame, that kind of thing. That's not been our standard workload and that kind of thing.
So do you think that it is within the capacity of the department, or that it should be, to continue to modernize your practices on an ongoing basis?
Absolutely, but not, we did. Okay, we did. Okay, we had upgrades as we went through, but they weren't of this magnitude, mm-hmm. nor were they like even this, like what we're looking at right now. They didn't, you know, we weren't having an availability of, say, like the enterprise asset management or something like that. We were looking at that whole process and stuff like that, but that was something that was not offered by Fundware. I mean, Fundware was much. Well, we got bought out by Intuit, which was a good thing. We're going the right direction. And then it was like, okay, Intuit figured out that you couldn't make enough money off of quote-unquote governmental software package, so they dropped it. Sold it to Blackbaud. Blackbaud basically said, we're gonna prioritize these people in here, and if they want to come along with us with Blackbaud, that's great, but otherwise you're going to have to find somebody else. So that was kind of like that. And Fundware started here. Steamboat Springs, actually.
Yeah, so yeah. The software reached its end of life.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and we kind of got up against a wall, I understand.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. So, okay. Thank you. That answers my question. David.
But it's just, it's like biweekly, really. I mean, it's a quasi software part of it, but I mean, because we're running through the Muni system, but it's like, it's definitely a different flavor as far as, because we're touching everybody in the system again and that kind of thing. So, and then, you know, like some of the things that we did this year, this beginning of this year, that I, you know, it wasn't really, I knew we were going to do some of this, and it's not to the extent that we, you know, planned on. Is there is a 2020 budget schedule and presentation. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Capital improvement plan. Again, that was maybe part of that. We were asked to start looking at that, and we want to meet with Tom before he leaves, hopefully, and get an idea about what's going on with that. Public health, last year we spent like 267 hours on that. That's about 17% of an FTE. So far,
can you explain why the implementation of public health is taking so much time?
It's not, well, first and foremost, it's not a little department, and there's a lot of grant action going on with that thing. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say it's a mini, it's bigger than a mini Department of Human Services, because, you know, what we're doing is we're having to split some of those positions between Moffitt, you know, definitely Carrie's position and stuff like that, and that there's, it's time consuming making those, some of those allocations and reviewing that. We're billing back between, you know, us, this the county, the Moffitt County and the state, and there's just, it's time consuming. It's not necessarily complicated, but it's time consuming department to manage or to do accounting work on and stuff.
So
like
I understand that conceptually.
Yeah.
But in a literal sense, I mean, what are you having to do for public health?
Well,
that is taking so much time.
Okay, so
give me an example of a task that has to be completed.
Budget. How about the budget? I mean, Carrie,
development of the budget?
Yeah, helping out with the budget. Because Carrie, however you want, this is not against Carrie or something like that. You got a very good push in with Carrie as far as doing whatever you
do. Public health implementer, not an administrator.
She's not a budget person. I mean, and so that's what, you know, eventually, somewhere along the line, she's going to get much better at that and be able to produce that budget and not understand it and that kind of thing. But right now, it's... you know, it's taken time, let's put it that way, to get us even where we are right now. And then it's like, and even, you know, we got nuances going back and forth between Moffitt County and us and, like, you know, what they would like to see. And it's like, even though we agreed to this, like, up front, you know, and how we were going to do that, we got approval from the state, they still would like to see it the other way. So, we spend time doing that kind of thing and stuff like that. Plus, the program is growing. We're getting more grants and that kind of thing. So there's time being spent on that to try to, you know, to understand what those grants are and whether or not, you know, it's federal or state or whatever it happens to be. We've got new people coming on board, you know, especially Stella. Stella's a new person. She's going to be good eventually.
She's the administrator for public health?
Yeah. And, you know, that's going to, you know, that's taking time to train and stuff like that too. So, it's a new program too. You know, it's like we have to understand it too, what that means and that kind of thing, so that we can get the federal, state, that kind of compliance and that stuff going to the like our schedule of federal financial awards and that kind of stuff. And it takes time.
Do you anticipate it'll get dialed in, or based on the grants and the constant changes with Moffitt, it'll always be a moving target?
Well, that's to be seen. That's like predicting the future. What I've seen is we've had several new grants that came out this year, and each one of those is adding to a certain extent to the workload and that kind of thing. So, we might have some peaks and valleys in there, but every time we get one of these new grants or something like that, that takes a little bit of time to get it set up and that.
So let's go back to the bigger picture, Beth asked some questions. So Sure. Where are we at on the temporaries for the ERP in the first place?
Where are we at?
How many?
Two.
We got two. We still have two?
Yeah.
How many did we have?
Is this one of the two?
Oh, in accounting? In accounting, we had two.
In accounting, you had two?
Yeah.
And you still have two?
Still, the end of the week.
This one's the third.
That's the second.
This is the second one.
Yeah. This is, yeah.
She hired one out of his.
Got it.
Okay. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So I guess my comment here, we underguessed this ERP by a mile and a half. I mean, the implementation, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then again, I guess the other question is this really a temporary EFT?
I am not going to change my stance on that.
I still think
that once we get normal, I don't know exactly when normal is going to take place. I'm saying 2 to 3 years because some of these are going to go a little bit, like when I look at Project Grant, I think that's going to go a little bit faster than, say, enterprise asset management or something like that, as far as implementing these things and stuff like that. But I still fundamentally believe, until proven otherwise, that I can still live with 8 FTEs instead of 10.
So, and again, back to this question here then, and again, Kathy kind of bounced this off last week a little bit. So, I mean, hiring. So we now are looking to extend it. Is that in fairness to get a person in there for the 2 years?
Well, it worked. Okay, like we've lucked out quite a bit, I think, with the two times we've hired temps. Or three, I guess you'd say. Because we got Chris Cooper. That was, she's an accounting manager right now, and that worked out relatively well. And, we got Doris, and she was, available out there and, worked with us for like 3 years. And I think, with the role that we used Doris in, it worked well. I mean, didn't work so well at the airport, but I mean, for what we were using her skill set for, it worked well for
us.
That's fine. Yeah. Now, whether or not we're going to have the same kind of luck that we had previously with the people that we've been finding, the times change and stuff like that.
The reason why I'm asking is you're asking us to extend the FTE temporary FTE for another time period. What was it? It's another year, isn't it?
Two to three years.
Well, 2 to 3 years. Maybe. As soon as we get a better feel for what some of this is going to take place, because right now, with the chart of accounts, we got an idea about that, but we haven't really. We're still looking at Munis and GFOA to give us best practices and that kind of thing to say, okay, what should this thing look like in the end, so that we don't have to go back and do it over again.
So, what's the other temporary accounting position?
Chris Cooper.
So, what's her time frame?
Well, we hired her last year, okay, and that was 2 to 3 years that we did that.
So you're basically administering the budget.
Okay, yeah. That's my question. So, cool. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you guys can cut the budget anytime you want. I mean, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like it's a
commitment.
Commitment. No.
Well,
you are providing two different justifications. You could have just come and asked for, hey, I need a temporary for another 2 to 3 years.
Sure,
on top of that, you pile onto it. Oh, by the way, in order to hire anybody, we need to advertise for 2 to 3 years. So it's a little bit of a mixed message there.
Well, no, I'm thinking if to get somebody who's going to stay for a little bit. You're going to have to say something there. If I say like a year, I mean, this position is probably going to take them, I say, at least a good 4 months before they really get rolled in. I mean, that was even with Doris.
It's kind of an additional reason to extend for 2 to 3 years. Bottom line is, you're telling us you need this person for 2 to 3 years.
I think he's telling us he needs both of them for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I am. I'm not disagreeing with that. No. But at the same token, I would really like to get this stuff done so I could get back to normal. And because this,
know.
So
normal is a good thing.
Some of us.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah, I would really like to do this. I mean, it's just that, you know, what I, you know, what I see here is that, you know, even like with what we did with GFOA, all right, what we did is we added, I think, you know, some management position, but somebody still has to do the, you know, like we've got project managers out there and they've been assigned to that. But then it's like, you know, we still got, this is a lot of accounting. There is not, you know, almost, there's a lot of accounting going on here. Let's just put it that way.
So, and, you know, we're going to get this timeline soon, one would hope, from Craig at GFOA that's going to theoretically schedule out the implementation over GFOA over a certain period of time that we don't know yet until we see that schedule. But what I'm hearing from you, that you are still, even with the completion of the implementation of GFOA, let's say it takes place by the end of 2021, is that the general goal for GFOA?
I think that's generally based on
what I'm hearing from you. Even if we achieve that and get it fully implemented, there's still going to be an ongoing need for these temporaries?
Not if we get it all implemented, no. I mean, that's our biggest thing out here, you know. And the only thing I'm saying is, like, some of these projects, especially, I think, when we look at budget, you know, when we look at, I think I mentioned this in some document, I don't know which one, but, you know, when we look at the budget salary and forecasting, I mean, right now we're looking at going live with biweekly in the middle of next year. Well, that, when it comes to using that salary and forecasting, I mean, you know, that beginning of the year is going to be half under semi-monthly, and then the next half is going to be under biweekly. I don't know whether or not that's going to be a, you know, I don't know if we can even model that. I mean, we can model it in ourselves, but I mean, can
I'm not sure that it's an unknown.
Yeah.
But if theoretically GFOA is fully implemented by the end of 2021, we don't need the temporaries anymore.
Oh, no. No, I don't have. Yeah, if we can accomplish all this in that year, I'd be great. I'd be happy.
Let's accomplish GFOA.
That?
The timeline that Craig gave us.
Which means that I'm making an argument to not extend this position beyond the end of 2021.
So we would advertise for
just
2 years or so.
If we actually end of 2020. Yeah. So that would be my suggestion.
I think that should be our goal. I mean, I don't know what we're paying GFOA for if they're not giving us recommendations that we feel like we can use. And I think that we should be shooting for that. And of course, Dan, there are always unknowns, right?
Oh, yeah.
If it could happen, that could happen. I know you and Doug, right?
Yeah.
You guys are accountants. You don't like unknowns. You don't want us.
Well, it's part of the package,
well,
though. It's part of the package, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
But I understand that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's challenging that there are these gray areas. But I'm with Tim. I think we should really be pushing ourselves hard because, to your point, we should get this done.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah.
I would love to have this behind us.
We don't want this thing to drag out for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 more years. We have to push hard to get it done.
Yeah.
So let's start there with this one position. Let's plan on doing an extension in 2021.
I'm still going to finish with work-life balance because, you know, like the last time we did this push, we did really work hard. We got behind by 3 FTEs, and that was not good for anybody. So there is some balance out there.
I think there is, and I think that's another one of those unknowns, right? I mean,
right.
We can say this is the goal,
right.
But if there's going to be a change to that goal, we need
right.
information about why it's changing.
Why we're getting shoved out. Yep.
I understand there's a lot of accounting work because I'm the lead on the biweekly, and I know that Chris is doing a significant amount of work on the numbers crunching for that. But I also think that having Helena come in has made a huge difference as far as her being the go-to person for processing a lot of the challenges that come up in the ERP, and I think that will continue.
I
to
agree
be
with
supportive.
That too. It's just.
Okay.
so
she's
again,
got longer than 3 minutes.
No, I'm good. But Doug didn't really weigh in on that concept.
On which? On what?
Well, the saying we will leave these positions.
And again, we still have a budget to adopt for 2021 as well. So,
but
you know,
we're making.
I think we're going under the fair good faith effort that, you know, we probably need to have these people based on workload and getting things done and get off the table. 2021, we can expect to be budgeting to
the
two temporary people for the
2021. Yep.
And we'll deal with diversity as it arises.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
That's
right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good solo.
It's crazy, the solo parenting. I don't know how